Hi, I'm Maury Zelkovich, and I'd like to welcome you all to week two of our webinar on developing and improving your self-confidence and self-esteem. Last week, we went to a large degree into definitions of what self-confidence is and self-esteem is, and some of the advantages, some of the origins, where it maybe came from in your life, how it got developed, and how some poor thinking patterns, some poor lessons we were taught and learned as children may have contributed to our state that we might be in now. This week, we're going to go through a few other concepts that will also help to prepare you. You see, it's very important to be prepared and to have an understanding. So last week, we went into great detail, about getting an understanding about what is going on and how it happens. This week, we're going to continue on with that, as understanding is very, very important, but we're going to talk about some other ways. For instance, how to cope with criticism from others and yourself. Negative self-talk is a big part of the quantum mind power and quantum confidence system. You'll hear me say all the time that it's really important to stop that negative self-talk, because that's really programming ourselves to be negative and to have negative thinking patterns. And the more you think in a certain way and a certain fashion, the more you actually become. You basically program yourself to be like that. So last week we basically had the understanding that regardless of whether we would like to blame others, this is all entirely in our control. There is nobody out there who is responsible for our feelings about ourselves except ourselves. And once we admit that we have the power to do that, we end up admitting that we have the power to change things for the better as well. So let's get started. One of the areas that people with low self-esteem have the greatest difficulty is with criticism. Okay? This means giving it as well as receiving it. It's not just a matter of getting it. What you put out actually comes back and gets mirrored to you. So, you know, the old adage, fighting fire with fire, all that really does is build more fire. In the real world, they may do that to help contain a fire. In the psychological and social world, all it does is contribute to more fire, more destruction, more envy, more jealousy, more anger, more of what we don't want in our lives. Okay? So it's really, really important. One of the things, so when you are getting criticized for something, best to bite your tongue. Again, don't add to the fire, okay? It's very difficult for all of us, myself included, quite frankly, to deal with criticism. Every time I do one of these calls, actually, without fail, whether it's a monthly teleseminar call from the membership club, or whether it was from this class last week, or, you know, even a new product launch call, I invariably get people commenting either online or through emails that, various mistakes I may have made, various things they don't agree with about what I'm saying. I get criticized all the time, basically. Now, I also get nice things said as well. But it's funny how when you get criticized, you can get 10 nice comments and one criticism, and it's the criticism that rules your day. With me, I've gotten to the point through my regular usage of my own systems and a few other things, actually, Dr. Robert Anthony stuff, songs, protocols, and advice as well has proven very helpful for me, that I am now able to take these things in stride and realize, quite frankly, you cannot please everybody all the time. And if you get comments from certain people who feel the need to express themselves and these are negative comments, well, you know what? They're entitled to have these opinions, and they're entitled to make these comments. And quite frankly, I've noticed that if I listen to them with that kind of an attitude, instead of being on the defensive because I don't want to hear anything negative about me, I normally find that these people are saying something that in the end I find beneficial for myself. So important to remember that our attitude towards other people has a great deal of effect and affect on how we will interpret what they are saying or doing in front of us. So it's really important to keep in mind that just because someone is criticizing you, that is no reason to shut your eyes and shut your ears. in reality, if you keep your eyes and ears open and you take it as quote-unquote constructive criticism, regardless of the tone of their voice or the tone of their email, then you will probably find, as I do, that 9 out of 10 times these criticisms actually help you to become more self-aware and to actually benefit yourself and hopefully get better. And I hope that some of the people who criticized the last call, and, you know, they didn't, you know, yell and scream at me, but they were, shall we say, they could have worded their comments a little more gently. Hopefully I'll hear back from them this week and hear, you know, maybe some other comments and hopefully some, you know, ideas on how that I can be better at this. Not only that, but also hopefully that I've improved from some of the criticisms from last week. So that's the other point I wanted to bring up as well on the side, is that if you are going to criticize somebody, it really isn't very helpful just to point out negatives about them. The best thing that you can do is to actually offer solutions. Don't just say, you know, your breath stinks to someone, or you have VO, or you're a big mouth. Instead, give them helpful advice that maybe can help the situation along. You know, many people don't actually know they're doing something that's annoying you or bothering you until you tell them that they're doing it. And if you don't tell them, you really don't have a right to be upset at them, because you can't expect them to read your mind. I can't read your mind. You can't read my mind. One of the biggest frustrations in life is that people don't realize what they're doing to you. Well, tell them. But try to tell them in a tactful way and in a helpful way. And you'll find that your sense of self-esteem, their sense of self-esteem, will grow by leaps and bounds, simply because now you're coming from a place of caring and love instead of a place of anger and spite. Okay, I will get back on track now. Criticism is often unfair. And when we need to counter it by putting our own case succinctly and calmly. Now, what I mean by that is, we don't want to fight fire with fire again. It's very, very important. And I know I'm going to berate this point, you know, probably quite a bit tonight. But it's very, very important that when we are subject to criticism, whether it be by somebody else or even by ourselves, okay, that we step back, take a breath, and take it for how it's intended. Now, even if the person is being a little venomous, you can still choose how to take their comments. And if you choose to take their comments in a more helpful manner, then you are changing the energy of that communication. And when you change the energy of that communication, I think you'll find that the other person will change how they are acting within this context as well. So it's very important to be sensible and learn from what these people are saying, but it's also important to teach them by your reaction that they can be helpful in what they're doing. And you'll find that often people will be a certain way because they expect you to react a certain way. If you react differently, then that changes everything. And you will find that they will actually start changing how they are acting as well. We have an incredible amount of control, not only over how we act, but how other people act based on how we act to them. Remember that. Remember the last call we had, I talked about a story which I'm not going to reiterate here, but the long and the short of it was I thought I had some magical power to change how people thought, and in reality it was just me changing how I was acting towards them, how I was feeling towards them, and then they stopped reacting in a negative way, not because I have magic, but because I stopped fueling their fire. So keep in mind that even the biggest big mouth, the most annoying blowhard, sometimes it has as much to do with you as it has to do with them. The old line, it takes two to tango, is quite accurate here. Now, a mature, self-possessed person can listen to criticism without interrupting. Very important part here. If there are aspects to the criticism that are correct or valid, then you could actually even start agreeing with some of these points and see how the people are going to act and react when you start doing this. If you're unsure of what's being said, it's even okay to ask them to explain themselves. You know, they're saying a rant against you, and you really want to know what they're talking about. You truly want to change the situation. Ask them, you know, well, what do you mean? I'd like to know what actually you mean by this, because I don't really understand what you're saying. And if I'm bothering you this much, I'd really, really like to know so I can stop doing that. It shows the person on the other side that you are caring and considerate of their opinions. This, many times, can totally drop the other person's defenses because they suddenly realize, well, wait a minute. You know, this guy's not fighting me on anything I'm saying. He or she actually wants to understand where I'm coming from. They care about what I think. That's a really big point. You know, when people are critical of you, often they are critical of their expectation of who you are, not really who you are. And everybody prejudges and everybody makes up their mind way in advance about how you're going to react for anything. So it's very important to remember that how you react to what they're saying can completely turn them around. Pardon me. Okay. Now, if they explain it to you and you still disagree, you can certainly look at them and say, you know, I do understand what you're saying, but I really don't agree. And you can explain to them why you don't agree, and hopefully they start opening up a little bit, and as they're opening up and you're opening up, all of a sudden communication lines are open and situations go from an argument or a critical display of brute force to something that actually is beneficial and building, again, rather than destructive. Now, I know it's very easy to say, you know, when someone criticizes you and starts jumping all over you, act cool. Okay? However, there are certain tricks that you can do that will help you to, quote, unquote, act cool when someone is criticizing you. Okay? The first step is to listen. Don't interrupt or start excusing yourself or making excuses for yourself. One of the biggest issues with criticism is when you interrupt the person who is trying to express themselves. Let them get it all out. Listen intently. You may learn something. Okay? Be open-minded. Regardless of the tone of their voice, try to imagine that their intention is really to help you. It's not to hurt you. It's to help you. So when you hear something that seems like it could be a valid point, oh, yeah, I kind of see what you mean. Do you understand? You agree with them. That doesn't mean you make stuff up along the way, but in many cases, these people will say things that if you are listening, some of which you'll be able to agree with. And when you agree with it, you'll be able to make yourself a better person, so you could actually be grateful to these people for criticizing you. If you don't know what they're talking about, if you're completely clued out and it's like, wow, this person's been doing way too many, you know, vodka shooters, then ask for clarification. Hey, can you explain that to me? Can you give me a situation, a circumstance? Can you help me out here? I don't understand. I want to understand. When you're wrong, so somebody says something and now you're listening. You're not listening with a defensive ear, okay, which is a deaf ear. You're listening with an open mind and open ears, and you realize that you've done something wrong, it's okay to admit it and to apologize to them. It really is. And you know, generally speaking, our initial instinct isn't to do that. Our initial instinct is to fight back. However, if you actually try just listening, and when you hear something that maybe you did do a little unfairly or a little wrongly, admit it and apologize. You have no idea how empowering that is. You know, Hollywood tells us that we all have to put up our dukes and punch away. That might be great, you know, when you're watching a Bruce Willis movie, but in real life, that really isn't a very good way to be. And like I was saying before, many times when people have something to say, even if they may not be saying it the right way, believe it or not, they are trying to be helpful in some fashion, even if they don't know how to do it properly. And if you take it that way, you can change their energy as well. And now someone who really has it out for you suddenly goes, well, wait a minute, this guy actually is respecting what I'm thinking about and saying. Maybe he's not as bad as I thought. Maybe there aren't as many horrible things here. And that leads us to the last part. If a criticism is wrong or unfair, you can say, hey, look, I really don't agree with you on that. You know, if you can explain it differently, so maybe I understand it better, perhaps there's a way I can do that. But to be very honest with you, I just don't understand. And because I don't understand what you're saying, I just can't agree. Now, keep in mind that if you've already noticed certain things they've said that have been something you can agree to, that will open them up. And now they will start having an open mind. And they will go, well, you know what? Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're not as closed-minded as I thought after all. So, you know, these are just five or six little helpful hints that you can use when you're in a situation where you're being criticized. Now, this can be done in a relationship as far as a love relationship, a friendship, or even a working relationship with your boss, a coworker. Communication is really, really important. And if you can leave the lines of communication open, it makes all the difference in the world. That I mean all the difference in the world. So please keep that in mind. Now, let's take a look at giving criticism now, because people with poor self-esteem often find it harder to dish out criticism than to receive it. So what that basically means is if your self-esteem is really low and someone starts, you know, nagging at you, you're more likely to just take it and be meek about it. And if you have something to say about them, you tend to keep it inside. You just don't feel comfortable letting other people know. Now, part of the problem with that is maybe you have some information that can help these people to be better people and happier, and you're not being fair to them or yourself by holding it in, okay? Once again, you just need to find a way to say it without being mean. That's all. And, you know, many adults actually avoid promotion because they can't face the prospect of being or having any authority. You know, if you're a boss, you have to criticize people. If they're not doing their job, you have to say, hey, look, Joe, hey, look, Sue, you're just not doing it. You know, you need to bear down. You need to concentrate. Do you have any problems at home you want to talk about? You know, whatever. But the point is, you can be understanding or you can be mean, however you want to be. The best thing, of course, is to be understanding. But you need to be in a position where you can tell people when they're slacking off, when they're not doing the job properly. Sometimes when they're not doing the job properly, it's not because they're lazy or bad. It's because they don't know that they're doing something wrong, and you need to point it out to them. So please keep in mind that just because you feel the need to point out something to somebody doesn't mean you're mean and it doesn't mean you're critical. It just means that something is giving you a message for somebody else, and it's your responsibility to give it to them in the most positive way possible. So the question comes now is basically, how can you learn to criticize when you have to? So this is for all of you out there who are in a situation sometimes where you need to be honest about something. You know, you just need to be. Criticism is not necessarily a bad thing. It can be a good thing. It's all a matter of how you deal with it. So how can you actually learn to criticize when you have to? Well, the first thing is to keep calm. The minute you raise your voice, the minute you start screaming or talking quickly, you start building up defenses in the other person. Secondly, try to make your criticism at an appropriate time, okay? Rather than waiting till you're completely angry or fed up so that you're, like, ready to pull your hair out, that's when you're bound to make a mess of it all. You know, if you're, let's say you're a supervisor at work or your kid is misbehaving, find a way to take them out of that situation for a moment that doesn't embarrass them, that doesn't, you know, make them the featured attraction in whoever happens to be around. And then in private, in a calm, caring, concerned voice, discuss with them whatever you need to discuss. There's no need to embarrass people. And that is not going to help. That is only going to make them think you're a real you-know-what-hole. So it's really important, again, to think before you talk, okay, and to listen to what you say. So last week I suggested that everybody write these words down and put them up everywhere. think before you talk and listen to what you say. And you will have a much better time with your life when you do these things. We just do not realize how much we influence other people by our own actions, attitudes. And I can tell you personally, in my past, this fortunately doesn't happen anymore, but in my past, I can't tell you how many times I would be angry and annoyed at people. And I look back at it now, and I was making them act this way. Oh, boy. You know, I can't tell you how many people I've bumped into from my past, and I apologize to them. It's almost like an AA course, you know, where you have to, one of the steps, I think, is apologizing to people you've wronged. Well, there you go. I apologize to these people saying, you know, I remember when we dated and we were friends, whatever, you know, that I was really on your case for this or that or the other thing. And, you know, now that I'm a little older and hopefully a little bit wiser, I understand now that, you know, I was really pushing you to act and react these ways. And I'm really, really sorry, and I hope you forgive me. And, you know, believe it or not, when I apologize to these people, every time I do, I feel better about myself. Because admitting you're wrong is a really, really, really important step to having high self-esteem. You have to be able to look at yourself honestly. If you really, truly want to feel good about yourself, then you need to be able to be honest with yourself as well. Really important to be honest with yourself. If you're not willing to be honest with yourself, then I honestly don't see how you can have high self-esteem or high self-confidence. You can certainly look like you do to your friends and coworkers, but in reality, you don't. So it's really important to be able to admit your own weaknesses and deal with them, improve them. You know, in some cases, delegate so that other people who have these things that you have as weaknesses as strength, and then you team up, and everybody's better off for it all. You know, there's no shame in admitting that you can't do everything. I can't do everything. I'm sure nobody out there can do everything. And why should we? That's the reason why there's people in this world, and you have family and you have friends. Because everybody has something about them that they're extremely great at, and then other things that they're really good at, and then other things that they're average at, and then other things that they completely stink the house out at. And that's okay, because we all have different things going for us. We all have different things working against us. And if we work together, we can all learn to be better and happier people and use the skills of others to help us out and use our good skills to help them out. These are all things that will help build great self-esteem in you. Okay? So when someone is, let's say, aggravating you or annoying you, and you've got something to criticize, a great way to make sure everything comes out in a constructive fashion is before you actually do anything, take at least 3 deep breaths. Now, when I say deep breaths, I mean hold it a second, release it. Do that 3 times, and while you're doing it, actually pay attention to your breath, okay? Pay attention to your breath. Pay attention to taking it in. Pay attention to holding it for a second or two. Pay attention to it coming out of you. At least 3 times. You will find that what that will do is that will take the emotion out of the event. Now you've distracted yourself. Now you're thinking of something else. You've been concentrating on your breath. The emotion, the anger, whatever may have happened, now you can deal with it intelligently instead of emotionally. And emotionally is great when you're in a passion situation, for instance, a loving, passionate situation. It's not great when you have something negative to say about someone and you're trying to be constructive about it. Okay? Something you may want to try before you say what's wrong with the person, for instance, is first say something that's good about them. So let's say I have, like as an example, let's say I want to mention that you're fidgeting too much. You know, maybe you're playing with your hair too much, and you need to stop that so you can pay attention to the lecture class that you're sitting in, or you're not paying attention to your kids enough, you're playing too much with your hair. So what I might first say is something complimentary to you. You know, anything. Doesn't even matter. I don't even have to come up with something. But you can say anything that's complimentary about the person. And then you can mention the criticism. And after the criticism, you can even mention how you feel that they're already taking steps. You know, that being said, I've already noticed that you're taking steps, that you're doing things to change this, and I really respect that about you. So you've taken a bad situation, something you need to criticize in someone. Before they have a chance to respond, you're already complimenting them on their efforts to change. Now, they may not actually be making any effort to change yet, but now you're building them up. You're saying, you know, yeah, you know, you do have this issue, and I thought I'd bring it up to you. However, I can see that you're working on it, and that impresses me. Well, they're going to have a very hard time being negative in response. The other thing is, you're actually stroking their ego in the area of helping them to actually start doing something about this criticism. Because in their eyes, you already see that they're doing something. They feel good about themselves now. So even though you've made the criticism, you've diffused it, if you will, in such a way as these people now understand that you actually see, okay, you've got this issue, but I'm happy to say that, you know, I see you making efforts to change that, and that's really cool. And that's got to make people feel great. You know, try that the next time someone annoys you, your child, your husband, your wife, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, whatever. And you might find that this makes quite a big difference. You probably notice that people who are good and fair when they criticize tend to use the word I rather than the word you. This is because the word I shows that you're in control and you've thought about what you're saying. All too many times when we're out of control, we don't say anything initially. That's exactly when we need to take those breaths I was telling you about and think about the problem. We bottle things up. We don't take that breath. We bottle it up until we're ready to blow. Then we use words like you and your and you are. We go, you're lazy, or you make me sick, or you're this, or you're that. And those, you can hear the tone of my voice. It got adversarial. I'm sure if I started speaking to any of you in that fashion, if I could hear it, I'd be hearing a lot of steel doors slamming shut in your heads. Oh, I'm not going to listen to this moron. Bing, 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 slap, 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 slap. That's exactly how it works. Communication is a two-way street. It's so important for all of us to understand that and to keep in mind that how we communicate our concerns and how we communicate once other people have given us their concerns makes a massive difference to how the conversation goes. And if we start having better conversations, our self-esteem rises. And our self-confidence rises because we start understanding that we have some control. We have some ability here to influence things and people in a positive way. That's what's really, really important, okay? Phrases like, you're lazy, you make me sick, why don't you listen, you're a failure, you're going to be a failure all your life. All these kinds of phrases, they're very angry, and they're very accusatory, okay? And they all show that you're not in control. They show that you've lost it, so to speak. And after saying them, if you actually listen to what you said, you tend to feel bad about yourself. And you think, oh, boy, why did I say that? I just made it worse. You know, I didn't really mean that. I love this person. How could I say that about them? Oh, you know, I'm sure you could all relate to this. And you can also relate to the fact that your self-esteem goes down. Let's even ignore for the time being your friend, family, or lover's self-esteem or a coworker's self-esteem. Let's talk about yours. Yours goes down because you realize you lost it. If you do lose it, apologize. And don't wait for the right moment. Apologize. It takes a very strong person to apologize. And you are all very strong. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to this. Because if you thought you knew everything already, you'd be just thinking the rest of the world are a bunch of idiots if things weren't going your way. And one day, maybe you'll get lucky and you'll meet a bunch of people who think the way you do, and you guys can all move to a desert island somewhere and, you know, live happily ever after. But we live in a world where we all have to be in a community. And that's a good thing, because we don't want to be lonely. So it's really important that we understand how we act and how we talk and how we think has direct influences over our interactions with others. And by virtue of that, it has a large component in how we feel about ourselves, too. And let's remember, the whole point of this webinar is about how we feel about ourselves and to get ourselves better than we were at the beginning and to learn ways and means and attitudes that will help us to maintain this throughout our lives and get better and better and better. And the thing that I'm hoping for here is not only will it get better and better and better, but because it gets better, you will, by your example alone, help others to get better and better and better too. And to me, that's the ultimate way to feel better about yourself. If you can help somebody, you know that old line, give someone a fish and they eat for the day, teach them how to fish and they eat for the rest of their lives. Well, if you, through your actions and even through your knowledge, can teach people how to be happier, then there is no power in the world that can make you feel better than that, okay? And you don't have to help hundreds of people or thousands of people or millions of people. Just helping one person once in a while, you know? There's no number value that makes you more important or better or smarter than somebody else. It's strictly a matter of when the situation arises, if you can do something to change it into a positive situation, to change somebody's energy into a positive situation, we're all going to benefit for this. I believe that we are all cells. I think I said this the last time, too. We are all cells in one being. And if you're a little bit happier tomorrow, then by nature, I'm going to be a little bit happier tomorrow, too. Even if we never talk, if we never meet each other, it doesn't matter. Okay? So to recap, when you're criticizing someone, use the word I, not you. Okay? Don't put everything onto them. Keep calm and do deep breathing and concentrate on your breath so that you actually have the opportunity to take a little time out and gain perspective before you go into what hopefully will not be a tirade at that point. Okay? Always try to criticize a person's behavior rather than the person themselves. That's where we come to what I was talking about before, about when you criticize what they did, but then you bump them up after it. Immediately after the criticism, you pump them up a little bit too. You're not criticizing the person then. You're just telling them, look, something you did is a little off, but I see you're working to change that. But I see you're a good person. And I know that this will pass too. You know, little things like that can go a very, very long way in helping people to understand themselves better. And you know what? When you're talking to people and, you know, quote-unquote criticizing them, it's a great idea to stand back and listen to yourself too, because what I have found is that often when I provide criticism to someone, much of what I'm saying applies to me too. And that might be part of the reason why it bothers me in the first place what they're doing, because it reminds me of myself. So there's a bit of mirroring going on here, and I think it's very, 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 very important. Did I use enough varies? Maybe two more. Very, very important here that you all realize that many times when we get upset or critical of somebody for something, we need to really take a look at ourselves too. Generally speaking, the things we get the most annoyed with are things that remind us about ourselves. Okay? So please take that to heart. And if you don't write it down now, then write it down when you download the podcast, okay? If something really bothers me about you, then I need to think about it because it's probably something that bothers me about me as well, okay? Now, these tips are just as handy when it comes to standing up for yourself in other situations too, and they're also useful when you want to be able to say no without feeling guilty. Just keep calm and use the word I. You know, when I was a kid about 15 years old or 14 years old, I went skiing, and I used to love skiing. I can't do it because of all the injuries I've had, but anymore. But I remember a bunch of kids were, oh, let's go on this hill, let's go on this hill. Well, I didn't have the skill level, and I didn't have the courage to say no. And all I kept thinking to myself was, you're going to be really, you're going to think I'm a real, you know, coward and this and that and the other thing. Well, I went down the hill, and I broke my ankle in 25 places. And I dislocated my knee. And I was in a cast for 6 months. And this and that. All because I was too stupid to say no. So please, not saying no when you're uncomfortable for something is a big mistake. Okay? I don't care how embarrassed you think you're going to be. say no if you're not comfortable. There's a reason why you're not comfortable. And, you know, part of you knows something, the rest of you doesn't know. Take my advice and trust it, okay? Say things like, no, you know, I won't be coming to that party with you. Or, you know, I can't work late tonight, I'm sorry. But if necessary, I'll happily stay tomorrow longer. You know, never, ever, ever apologize for saying no, okay? It's your right to exercise it, and it's your right not to do something you're not comfortable with. So don't go, look, I'm really sorry, but no. Now, reading this, you know, funny how I was just talking about how, you know, if you have something to criticize people with, often look at yourself. Well, I just realized that, you know, after reading that back, after writing it a couple of months ago to create this class, I realized that I'm always apologizing for saying no. So I'm going to have to watch out for that myself. All right. There you go. People with poor self-esteem are always getting talked into doing things they don't want to do. When I was younger, again, very poor self-esteem, always doing things I never wanted to do, always getting hurt, always getting injured, always getting into trouble. Okay? The more you start valuing yourself, okay, and learning how to stay calm and just say no, the better off you're all going to be. Using the TMM recordings, using the various protocols that we've made available as well with the Course Solution Report and, you know, and others, if we practice these things, we will find that life is very, very different. Okay, and just because you think this is who I am now, you know, quote unquote, this is who I am, well, it isn't who you are. Who you are is happy. And if you're not happy all the time, then that isn't who you are. And that's the first sign that you need to start doing things differently. And this class is all about examples, definitions, clarifications, understanding, and methods on how we can change these things about ourselves so that we can start living the life we're meant to be living. Okay, we're going to go into some interpersonal communication skills now, okay, because I think this is very important with people on how they can actually, you know, exercise some of these traits. And unlike so many things that are out there, you know, and one of the reasons why I came up with the TMM system and these classes and things like this is that I just wasn't getting full information anywhere else. And that really annoyed me. You know, people would whet my appetite, and then I'd walk away without any ways to do anything, with any real-world examples on how I could act and react to change my life and for the better. So let's get started with some interpersonal communication skills. If you're a person with low self-esteem, often what can happen is that you don't really communicate with others very well. As we're all aware, this can be a very serious problem in all areas of your life, and especially at work, where it's so important at your job, any job really. What's more, poor communication skills will hit you every day in your relationships with your friends, with your loved ones. It can make anything a complete nightmare. There are some steps, though, that you can take to help yourself to be better at communicating. And you'll find that the better you are at communicating, the better people will react to you as well. Sometimes we just don't use the right words and we start all kinds of terrible, you know, balls rolling downhill. And it's important to remember that our body language, the way we speak, the way we handle things, actually can make polar opposite changes in how we experience life and people around us. So the first thing I'd like you to do is to think about the situations that give you trouble. Okay? Take a second or two just to pick a couple right now, but it'll be a good idea later on to maybe even take some notes, maybe when you're listening to the podcast or another time when you have some time, and decide how you want to be, how you want to act, how you want to look to the other people. It's a great idea to model yourself, and what that means is check out somebody who you admire, who's already doing what you want to do. Watch them. Learn from them. You know, try to be their protege if you want. Be their friend if you can. Whatever it takes to help you, to help yourself. You know, my brother's a really, really, really smart guy, and he has life, I don't know if it would be fair to say easier, but certainly more successful than I for many, many years earlier than myself. And he would put himself around people that he admired. So if he wanted to be successful in business, he would, you know, and he's got a good head on his shoulders for that anyway, but he would find people who are successful in business, and he'd befriend them. And, you know, you pick up their energy, you pick up their thoughts, you pick up inside information. Now, we're not talking about the stock market here. We're just talking about inside information. People who are successful know certain tricks that those of us who aren't successful don't know. So, you know, you can surround yourself with people who do what you want to do, okay, who you admire. If you watch them carefully and you study them literally, you can notice how they smile and how they listen to others. So to become a good conversationalist, the number one rule here is to listen. You know, my dad told me many times, I'm sure you can tell because I talk so much, but my dad told me so many times, Maury, you don't learn anything when you talk. You only learn when you listen. And that's a lesson that has stuck with me. Now, please understand that this is a lecture portion of our lesson here. That's why I am talking nonstop. It's my pleasure when we go to the question and answer period of this program that I listen to all of your writings on the web as well as all of your calls when that time comes as well. It's my pleasure to listen. I learned so much from you people, I can't even tell you. I only hope that you get a little bit enough from me that you don't feel like I'm abusing you for your knowledge and your wisdom. So the best thing I can tell you is to listen. Okay? When you're nervous, the chances are that you'll talk and talk and talk until the other person switches off. So you really need to observe these people. So you're observing the successful person. They will be able to tell when somebody else has had enough and it's time to be quiet now. These are the things you need to be looking for also. So when people start showing a loss of interest, okay, you may start to think, because of your low self-esteem, that you're boring or hopeless at this sort of thing. However, if you try to listen more and engage them, ask them questions, don't talk so much as make a point and then ask a question. Try to engage the other person. Try to get them back and forth. It's kind of like a tennis match, except it's not a competition. You have something to say, say it. Then, well, what do you think? And then they say what they have to go, you know, and then you get inspired to say something else. And then you look at their body language, watch their eyes and their ears perk up when you say something, and then give a pause and ask them their views, okay? Always try to speak to your audience rather than speaking to yourself. Again, you already believe everything you're saying, and you can't learn anything from yourself. So you want to inspire others to teach you. And anyone can teach you. Your 3-year-old child can teach you something, okay? Your 75-year-old grandmother can teach you something. Everybody can teach you something. The person that you exchange a glance with on the street can teach you something. I'm not going to get into the circumstances, but I had what some people might call 2 pieces of very bad news today. And in the past, maybe 5-6 years ago, I would be a mess. I would be rolling my eyes. I would be saying, I can't believe this is happening. What's going on? Blah, 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 blah. And that's all it is. It's so much blah, blah. Okay? Suffice it to say that the first things that popped into my head when I got these 2 pieces of news were, the first one was that, wow, isn't this wonderful that I can take my 3 breaths and see this for what it is? It's a lesson in patience. So it proved to me that, wow, you know what, I'm 47 years old, almost 48. Hooray, I'm starting to grow up a little. I'm showing some common sense and some patience. Isn't that nice? The second item happened, and, you know, it could have been very detrimental. And the first thing that happened was I started thinking of a solution instead of the problem. So these are 2 things that you guys can do too. Anything that happens negatively that sounds like a setback is really something that's teaching you patience. Other things that may happen to you that may take away or seemingly take away an opportunity for you actually is asking you to come up with a different solution. So it's not about thinking about what's going wrong. It's about thinking about, okay, well, this happened. How can I make it better now? And funny enough, in both situations, I came up with answers within minutes of them happening. in the past, months and months and months would go by. People around me would be aggravated by me. It's absolutely incredible the difference that occurs when you have self-confidence and high self-esteem. Anything that happens, you can get through. Even if you don't think you can, because there's always a solution. I'm not really a movie goer, but there is a movie where one of the stars said during the movie, I'd like to think that there are always possibilities. And as long as you have in your head that there's always possibilities, that there's always a solution, then you know what? You will always find a solution. If you feel like this is it, the world's over, then you know what? Your mind closes. The universe closes because it doesn't judge what you're saying. It just gives you what you expect. I expect a solution. I expect that 99.9% of what happens to me, no matter how bad it looks, is really going to work out better than I could have imagined. Even the way I wanted it to happen, it wouldn't have worked out this well. Because of that attitude, I now get solutions instead of headaches and aggravation. So all of you could learn from this too. Very, very, very important, okay? Start understanding that there is always a solution. And there is. I think if you look at your own lives, you'll find that in most cases, once you get through all the BS you put yourself through, you do come up with a solution, or a solution presents itself, and then you move on. So why not avoid the middleman with all its garbage and understand that there's a solution there? And even when something terrible happens, that's okay, because now I understand that there is indeed a solution. And just because I can't see it right now doesn't mean it's not there. So if I open myself up to it, it comes to me. Now, I've been practicing this a lot longer than you have, so for me, generally speaking, it takes a few minutes. It might take you a few hours. It might even take you a few days. But you know what? Your attitude during that time will be amazing, because you know that the solution is just around the corner, and it's there for you. Now, if you have a fear of failure in social situations, okay, this can affect you in a negative way, in that it can make it so that you try to avoid these situations. You might want to avoid parties or other gatherings or other social events, okay, when going to them might open up opportunity to you. Going to them might help you to develop the skills that you feel like you're lacking. Like everything else in your life, it's all about practice. When you first started riding that first two-wheeler bike, they put training wheels on. So when you go to a party, go with a friend who's not bad with other people and ride their coattails for a bit. Again, watch them, learn from them, okay? There's nothing that terrible that can happen to you at a social gathering, a business meeting, that you can't come back from. It's all a matter of learning, okay? There's no such thing as a stupid question. If you don't understand something, ask. What's stupid is when you have a question and you don't ask, because that ends up creating all kinds of bad situations for you. It gives you a horrible sense of confidence because you don't have any. Because you go, well, I'm an idiot. I don't understand what they're saying. And everybody else does. Well, you know what? Everybody else asked the question. You just weren't there when they asked. They maybe asked it a couple of years ago. Ask the question. Everybody respects people who want to learn. If you want to learn, if you want to be better, then that's only something that people will be respectful of. I promise you. And you know what? If someone isn't, then that's a sign that you should avoid them and they're not worth your time anyway. Okay? Just because somebody says something doesn't mean they're God or they know what they're talking about either. So if somebody puts you down for asking, you know, quote unquote, well, that's a dumb question, well, that is a person that you do not need to listen to the answer from. That's just the universe's way of saying, hey, this person has nothing to say to you. Don't listen to them. All right? Something as small as smiling can actually make you feel confident. Practice it. Look in the mirror and smile. And if the smile is too forced, think of something that makes you smile. Maybe a baby in a cradle. Maybe you have a pet and he or she did something silly, or a kid or a parent or somebody, or a sitcom or something that makes you smile. You will see that your spirits will pick up, your feeling, your self-confidence, everything will rise. Okay? You will become more positive and more social. So it's a good idea to actually practice smiling every single day, every chance you have. Anytime you see a mirror, in your rearview mirror, when you're in your bathroom brushing your teeth, anything, practice smiling. Even if you feel stupid at first, it doesn't matter. Practice it. It makes you feel better. You'll notice that when you smile, everything feels better. You literally release endorphins when you smile. And that is a technical, physiological truism. You feel better when these things are released. This is just how it works. Okay? Now, you might be shy. And if you're a shy person, that, you know, or meek, you may, you know, that could be stopping you from being the person who you want to be and improving your communication skills because you're too shy to say anything. Okay? Shyness isn't a problem. Okay, all you need to do is learn how to deal with it and overcome it. And I can tell you from personal experience that it may not be so easy, but it also isn't that tough. Once you break through that little thin piece of ice of shyness, it's amazing how fast it can turn around. You know, shyness can actually be cute to some, for some people. So it all depends on how you use it, okay? Again, look at other people that you admire, that you like, you'd like to be more like them in those respects. You know, I'd like to be more talkative, I'd like to be more forceful, I'd like to be more opinionated sometimes, I'd like this, I'd like that. So look at these people and practice in front of a mirror. And then practice with people that you're close with. And then slowly you expand your circle that way, okay? It may not be that easy for you initially, but you can't keep running and hiding things, okay? You have to face your issues if you're going to beat them. And you need to understand that you need to make some kind of a commitment to yourself to step out of that, you know, that cone of silence. You need to step out of that envelope of security, that comfort zone. Okay? Just do it a little bit. If you find a little way to do it, you do it a little bit. And as you practice doing it more and more, even a little bit, you will notice that all these walls will break down. Opportunities will start presenting themselves. People who you would have thought never would have talked to you are now eager to talk to you. And it's all because of just little subtle changes you're making in yourself that help you to be who you really are. Okay? And you are a vibrant person, and you are an intelligent person, and you have lots of things to say that lots of people would be interested in. And again, that plays to your sense of confidence and esteem. You may not realize that people have an interest, but when you start sharing it, you will see this, and it will be much easier for you to understand that your lack of confidence or self-esteem is more something you've done to yourself because of how you've interpreted other people and situations rather than, in reality, something that you have an issue or a problem with. Okay? Assertiveness is another factor in the success, okay, of an effective communicator. So the question is, can you say no when you want to? Would you like to be more assertive? Would you like to be able to say what you're thinking and feeling without being guilty about it? There's lots of things, okay, that you can do to help your assertiveness and to get a higher level of self-esteem and confidence, okay? It all comes down to your behavior and your opinion of yourself, all right? To become more assertive, you definitely need some kind of help, okay? For that reason, okay, it's important to follow and model others. There's ways to be assertive without being bossy. And you don't want to confuse the two. Assertive is standing up for yourself, but assertive is not stepping on other people. So you need to find a healthy balance. Again, model yourself. Find people who you respect, who state their opinion, but don't belittle other people if they have other opinions. Remember what my dad told me. You can't learn when you talk. You only learn when you listen. So it's important to say what you have to say, but at the same time to listen to what others have to say too. And believe me, other people will start inviting you to share your opinion when they see that you are attentive to theirs. So if you're shy, if you lack assertiveness, one of the best ways out of this is to go, like I said, with a friend to a party or a networking event or something like that, and actually, a couple of words, excuse me, do you mind if I listen? And then you do. And you show you're attentive. And if you feel inspired to ask a question, ask the question. Okay? I know it's a little bit tough. You know, I'm asking you to step outside of your comfort zone here. But if you do it a couple of times, you will see that most of your fear is not based in anything real. Okay? And all it'll take is one or two times, and you will start noticing a massive change in your confidence, because you will see that you are imagining a lot of what you feared might happen. This is very important to remember, okay? Most of what we feel is really in our imaginations, okay? And the fear stops the minute you start, you know, trying a little bit of what made you afraid in the first place and realizing that, hey, this isn't really a problem that I thought it would be. Isn't that strange? You know, the first time I drove a car, I drove it, I think, about 2 miles, and I had to get out of the car and let my dad drive home. My arms were killing me. I had no confidence. I was so scared. It was crazy. But you know what? I did it. And then the next time, it was a lot easier. And the next time, much easier. Now I'm known as quite a good driver, although I tend to get told I drive a little slow sometimes. but you know, that's what it's all about. It's all about you step out a little bit, and the bigger steps happen later. But you don't worry about waiting to be happy when the big steps happen. You are happy with every little step you make, and that's all it takes. And you can all be very happy with the little steps you're making attending or listening to this webinar, because these are all little steps that show that you have confidence in yourself and your ability to change. So whether you think you have confidence or not, you do. And you're proving it to yourself just by being here or by listening. And that's all it is. You don't actually need any more proof than that. You are already taking steps. You're already taking positive steps to increasing your sense of self-worth, self-esteem, and self-confidence. And you're proving it to yourself by being here, by listening. And even if you can't be here and you're listening through a podcast, it doesn't matter. Or even if you're hearing this because somebody is telling you, you know, parroting it back to you because they heard it, it doesn't matter how you're hearing this or why you're hearing this. The fact that you are shows that you are taking positive steps to change your circumstances. This will, by nature, cause positive changes. It cannot help but cause positive changes. Look, it's 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time right now. I'm sure there's lots of things you all could be doing rather than being here. But you are here. Think about it. You're making an effort. You're doing things. You're changing your circumstances to change who you are. You should all take a moment now and pat yourselves on the back. If you're anything like me, though, don't pat too hard. You don't want to dislocate your shoulders, okay? Okay. Well, I'm very happy for you all, and I'm thrilled that you've all now made this little discovery about yourselves, that your opinion of yourself may not quite be accurate. And that's really important here, okay? Now, communication, to getting back on track again, communication is probably the most important skill to master because it's so influential in creating the life that you want to have. When you're a good communicator, it empowers you to build incredible relationships, romantic, business, family, it doesn't matter. It helps you to determine what happens to you in the world. Okay? It influences your physical health, your psychological health, your social health. It's literally the main reason for success in career and life. And we learn to communicate based usually on what happens to us during the first few years of life. It can be based on what our parents have done to us, said, what we've seen, relatives, educators, the people who influence us. The only way to change this, if it wasn't healthy for you, is to interrupt the pattern. Okay? And this is what I was talking about before. Stepping outside of your comfort zone, even in very small ways, to start to change the training that you were given when you were younger. So if you have self-esteem issues, if you have self-confidence issues, odds are that our communication skills are a large part of the reason for this. It's also important to laugh at yourself when you make mistakes, by the way. None of us is perfect. And I'm a very emotional guy, and sometimes I get so wrapped up in what I'm saying that English seems like a second language to me. And I do apologize for that. However, I have no problem admitting when I screw up. And that's just showing you that I'm human just like you are. I'm nobody special. I'm just here to help, just like I hope you're here to help people as well. And it's all a matter of the little things we change will help us to change the bigger things. And it's the bigger things that we want to change here. We want to change our confidence, our self-esteem. We want to change all these things because we all know that we're entitled to be happy. We all know that we're supposed to be happy and successful. That's why we're here, because we're looking for ways to get there. All right? Admit when you're wrong if you're wrong. If you make a little mistake, laugh it off. Who cares? We're all human. I don't think any of you are going to step all over me just because, you know, I made a few grammatical errors in this chat. Okay? So the little changes, be happy with them. Be proud of yourself for them. Practice them as often as you can. You will find things will naturally start changing and snowballing for you from there. Okay? Communication can really determine our ability to manage our lives and develop our confidence, as I mentioned. Intimacy, it helps us to be clear on what we're speaking about or articulate our ideas, connect with society, all of these things, okay? So when we learn to master the art of communication, we are actually learning a key to improve our self-esteem. And we're building a foundation to build our confidence and our ability to grow our confidence, but also to help others. A big, big part is to help others here, okay? It's really, really, really important for us all to realize anytime you have an opportunity to help somebody, you really need to help somebody. If you don't, then you're just not being responsible to yourself and to society as a whole. If you're given an opportunity to help someone, do it. That's why you're given the opportunity. Not only will you be doing something good for someone else, but you'll be doing something phenomenal for you, because you will be making a difference, and nothing makes you feel as good about yourself as helping somebody to make a difference. If you can put a smile on somebody's face, even for a second, be proud of yourself, because you just made a little difference in their lives that, you know, putting a smile on a face, I don't know what else there is, really. You know, it's one of the most basic events in our lives, having a smile. And if you can do that for somebody, you're making a difference in their life. Okay, and it's an important difference in their life that you're making. Self-esteem is about treating yourself with respect, kindness, and honesty. It's your attitude and thoughts that create your feelings and behavior. So that's what this course is about. That's what the TMM recordings are about. That's what the systems are all about. They're all about creating a new attitude and new thoughts that are beneficial and creative rather than destructive. That's what it's all about. And the destructive stuff, you can feel very happy about. They're simply learned responses. If you practice what I'm asking you to practice, and we're going to go through exercises later on in the course and things like that, but when you practice these things, when you take these little hints that I'm giving you throughout the program, and you actually realize that, you know, you have the power in you, it's amazing how you will see your life change. It's important to learn self-compassion. Have compassion for yourself and value yourself too, okay? And then it's important to allow other people to see that you do respect yourself and that you respect them as well. You will learn how to believe in and trust yourself. You know, many times you make bad decisions and then you go, ah, why did I do that? I knew I should have done this. Why did I say that? I knew I should have said this. See, this is because you didn't trust yourself and have faith in yourself. You already had all the right answers. I'm sure many of you are going, I can remember that. I've done that many times. You know, once you start trusting yourself, and again, little things at a time, you will see everything starts changing. It is incredible. You know, the universe, yourself, it all goes towards positive. It's very difficult to take yourself into a negative place, but we do that very, very well. Once you start using this energy to go positive, you will see it will take on a life of its own. And it will just you'll be running with it. And it'll be a thrill ride. And you will love yourself, and you will love everybody you meet. And even people who annoy you, you will be grateful for them, because they are teaching you gratitude, and they're teaching you all kinds of wonderful lessons. So, you know, there's no way that you cannot be helped if you start practicing some of these traits. If you start using these recordings on a regular basis, as regular as possible, it helps to create the proper chemical balances in your brain and in your mind that help you to accomplish these things easier. Even if you don't feel like you're getting experience immediately, it doesn't matter. Changes happen. You know, before you can drive on a road, they have to grade the road. They have to flatten it. They have to survey it. Then they have to lay down gravel. They have to lay down a base. They have to lay down the bottom part. They have to lay down the top. They have to, you know, have the big heavy trucks on it to press everything tightly together. Then it all has to dry. Then you can drive on the road. This is what your life is right now. You are building a base that will be strong and that will support you for the rest of your life. So don't be impatient because you don't see yourself driving yet. Okay? First, we've got to build the road. We have to build the transportation. That's what we're doing. We're building the road. We're building the transportation. A farmer doesn't burn his field because he planted seeds yesterday and they haven't grown today. He or she knows that they will sprout because he knows what he needs to do, or she knows what she needs to do. They know that they need to do certain things first. These are the things that we're discussing now. Okay? These are the things that you need to do first, and when you do them, everything else comes. Okay? You will learn to believe in your own competence and your ability to make your decisions. Again, if you want a little help with that, just look at your own life, how many times you've said, oh, I wish I did what I thought in the first place. I wish I did what I wanted to do. Just think about it. There's plenty of times where you've already proven to yourself that your instincts aren't bad. They're not bad at all. So stop second-guessing yourself and start with little things, if it helps, moving forward with your first opinions. And always keep in mind that we are community and you don't want to hurt others with your decisions. So don't go with your first thought if your first thought is to steal a mint coat. But if your first thought is to say a question or ask a question or make a comment, that's fine. Do that. Take a deep breath. Pretend you're in front of the mirror. You know, use that old trick of visualizing everybody in their underwear and ask the question. It's an amazing feeling. You know, I really envy all of you who are in this situation right now because I remember what it was like for me and what an exciting time you're in now. And in a way, I envy you because I've gone through it. And it's such a nice thing to go through. It's a wonderful thing to go through. You're all very, very fortunate, really, to be in the situation that you're in now where you can actually, you know, change all these things about yourself with just small little actions and then be able to gain all these massive benefits from them. Oh, it's just a wonderful thing. You know, you have to come to a place with a conscious decision made in your mind, okay, to take responsibility for your own actions, to realize that if you do what you know is right, what you feel you need to do, then everything will work out. Look, if you ask a question, you'll get an answer. This is only going to help you. You can only benefit. There are powerful ways to raise your self-esteem and to discover, sorry, these are powerful ways to raise your self-esteem and discover your peak potential because they allow you to develop yourself, to grow, and also to let other people know that, hey, you're there. And they can learn from you too. And when you see other people asking you questions, that's because you have something to offer them. And you do. And it's really a shame if you're not offering it to them now. So your shyness, your lack of confidence is actually keeping others from being happier and better too. So you have a responsibility, not only to yourself, but to everybody you know and everybody you come into contact with, to change this about yourself because you have valuable information to teach these people. Every time you're inspired to say something and you don't, that's information that these people needed to hear and you didn't share. It will help you. It will help them. It's amazing. Okay? Absolutely amazing. All right. Some questions to ask yourself that may help you to do some of these things, okay? I'm going to go through these. Think about who you are, who you really are, and then express yourself honestly and effectively so that you start to change how other people look at you and how you look at yourself. By doing so, you will be creating your own success. You will be gaining control of your own success. The economy, people around you, your boss, nobody has any control over you once you do these things. You take control over everything. Eliminate negative self-talk and harsh self-judgment. Understand that when you make a mistake, that's a learning experience. That's actually a good thing. Okay? Understand that using the TMM recordings regularly and using the course solution and using the protocol for direct manifestation and just using your own intention goes a long way to retraining your brain and your brain's chemistry so that it can assist you to make all these changes much easier. Learn how to listen at the deepest level. So it's not just that you're quiet and you're listening. We don't want you to listen for people just to shut up, and then when they stop talking, you talk. We want you to actually listen and try to get out of it whatever you can, understanding that if these people are talking to you, there's probably a message there for you. And it's up to you to find the message. So you need to listen very carefully, and you need to understand that the only reason why these people are talking to you is because they have a message for you. And this message is a useful message that will help you. Okay? Use language and attitude to improve your communication skills. So, in other words, be nice, be gracious. Use the I instead of the you. You know, use whatever you can that will help others to understand that you don't think you're God. You just want to learn and you want to help. When you give that attitude, you're no longer a threat. Okay, people will listen more to people they do not think of as a threat. People will also listen more to people that they feel they can be helpful for and who respect them. So if you give an air of respect to the people you're speaking with, they will be much more likely to hear you and listen to you. It's not a matter of proving who's right or I'm better than you or I'm more knowledgeable than you. Okay, it's all a matter of just sharing. You share with me, I share with you. Hopefully we both walk away better for the experience. Okay. All right. We're going to talk a little bit about your environment now. Okay. I actually have a lot of information here, and I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to get to it all before we have to go to the question and answer period, but I will do my best to go through it. Just so you all know again, if you do have questions and you're on the phone, please remember that when we get to the question and answer period, star 2, put your hands up, and then I'm happy to bring you in on the call. This isn't just for questions, people. I'm happy to see, hear comments and ideas and suggestions, too. We're all here to help each other, okay? So star 2, when that section starts, it will be wonderful to hear from you on the telephone. For those of you on the web, all you need to do is write down your questions or comments and put them in the web question box, and I will be able to get to those as well when we get to that part of the program. So we're going to move on to our environment now. So healthy self-esteem can originate in the environment, okay, whether that's the school environment, family, your friends, work, community, whatever. Now, there are various characteristics in every environment that should be present in order for self-esteem to be fostered and grow. All right. Now, we're going to deal with some of these now because, again, understanding is everything. And the reason why I'm going into these factors that may seem unrelated is I want you all to have a really strong understanding as to the nature of self-esteem and self-confidence. Because if you understand all these little nuances and all these background effects and all these things that actually play large roles, then that will make you much better prepared to grow your own self-esteem. In other words, if you want to be a farmer and grow corn, going to school to learn computer networking isn't really going to help you. So the idea here is to develop our self-esteem and our self-confidence. What will help us with this is to learn what that means to us, and the various factors involved that maybe you don't care to know, but if you do know, will make every difference in the world for you. I mean, every difference. So the main component to a healthy environment to develop self-esteem and confidence is that it needs to be nurturing, okay? What I mean by nurturing is almost motherly. There has to be a loving attitude, a caring attitude here. It's not about me being better than you. It's about me wanting to be there for you, okay? Unconditional warmth, love, and caring are what rules the day here, okay? You need to provide the realization that other people are recognized. They are worthwhile, they are deserving of nurturing, reinforcement, reward, and relationships. Everybody, not just you, okay? You don't want to make your situation so that for you to feel good about yourself, other people should feel like you're better than them. This is all about all of us getting unconditional warmth, love, caring, etc. We all need this. Where you're in a room where everybody feels this way, the energy is amazing, and you will be uplifted in ways that you can't even understand. You may have gone to some lectures on internet marketing or whatever and heard the people stand up at the top, and they say all kinds of things, and everybody's looking at them like puppy dogs. Like, you know, we're just little animals, and you're like the god here, you're the guru. Well, there's no such thing as a god or a guru when it comes to this kind of stuff, okay? It's all about all of us getting these traits and all of us getting this recognition. There's no help if it's just for some. It has to be for everybody. The environment has to give messages that are warm, loving, and caring. If you feel, if you're having a conversation with someone and you really want to connect with them, put your hand on their shoulder if that's what you're inspired to do. You know, connect with them on a physical level as well. Okay? Understand that we are all people. We all have the same needs. We all need food to survive. We all need clothing to cover ourselves up and keep warm. We all need shelter. We all need these things, okay? We all have so many things in common that we all need to feel good about ourselves too. And we all need to be confident. And when we all are, then we are all that much better off. Okay? A healthy environment should also provide acceptance. You need to recognize that other people see everybody else as worthy individuals. So I look at you and I go, you know what? You have a life. You have a reason for being. Okay? You have a unique set of characteristics, of abilities, everything that makes you special. You know, I was in, I live in Toronto, Ontario, which is in Canada, and we live in the downtown core area. There's an area called the Eaton Centre, which is a massive shopping complex. And I was standing at one end of it on the middle floor, and I was just watching thousands and thousands and thousands of people mulling about and walking back and forth beneath me, you know, on the main floor of the mall. And I was watching them, and I was trying to connect with as many as I could, thinking to myself, you have a life. You know, you're probably in love with somebody. You know, maybe, you know, you have issues with your health, or maybe you don't, or, you know, look at other people around you and accept them all as people with their own lives, with their own needs, with their own desires. And whenever you notice people, whether it's a large crowd or even a small group, send positive energy to them. Smile and send that warmth out to them. You know, one of my dreams, okay, is to be able to be standing anywhere on a street corner, for instance, and having hundreds of thousands of people walking by me while I'm, I don't know, reading a magazine, listening to my iPod, whatever. And for all of them, as they walk by, to get this incredible feeling of warmth, love, and joy as they pass me. And to not know why, but just to feel this way. I bet you most of these people who walk by me get this rush of energy and they don't know where it came from. But they're happy to have it. That's the kind of thing I'm talking about. You're accepting everybody's rights to be happy, to be loved, to be taken care of. And you're sharing that desire and that attitude with them, whether you speak it or whether you just send it with your in an atmosphere. Okay? Acceptance actually helps individuals recognize that differences among them are okay. It doesn't matter, you know, if you're a man and I'm a woman, if you know, I'm a CEO and you're, you know, you're a brain surgeon or a teacher or, you know, a sanitation, you know, expert. It doesn't matter what you do. Everybody is important. What everybody does is equally important. There is no higher or lower, you know, level. Some people may get paid more for certain jobs, but that doesn't mean it's more important. Okay, that's just a misbalance in how our society runs. You know, that doesn't mean anybody's better than you. If they make 5 cents an hour more than you do, then they're 5 cents an hour better than you. That's just silly, okay? You need to encourage the development of a sense of personal mastery and autonomy. So you give everyone the right to be who they are, and you give yourself the right to be who you are. When you accept, you enable people to develop relationships with others, yet maintain healthy boundaries of individuality. It's important to be individual, too. Just like we're all cells in the same body, each cell has its purpose. Working together, we create a being. Yet each cell needs to have its own distinct purpose. Otherwise, the being is unhealthy. So it's really important to remember that, okay? There should be good communication. Everyone should be heard and responded to in a healthy way, so that if there are issues, we can problem solve in a healthy way as well. It's important to give and receive feedback. Okay, and reward people for doing so. Hey, well done. Thanks for sharing. Good job. I didn't know that. Well, you know, I'm so happy you said that. Thank you. Okay, when you communicate at a level of feeling, it's kind of like allowing people to be in touch with their emotions, and it shows them that this can be a productive event. It doesn't have to be something that, you know, just because you're being emotional, it doesn't make any sense, it has no value. It can be a very valuable thing. It all depends on how we deal with it, okay? So that's very, very, very important. So for the environment to support the development of healthy self-esteem, it must also contain recognition and acceptance of people for who they are. The recognition should not be based on the condition that they have to conform to what you think they should be, or they should act the way you think they should act. This is actually quite unhealthy. Unconditional recognition and acceptance is what is important here. Everybody is different. We need to remember that. You have your skills and your beliefs. I have my skills and my beliefs. I don't learn anything from you if you are simply going to parrot back everything I say to you. You don't learn anything from me if I do the same. So it's really important to understand and be appreciative and grateful for people being different and the differences in us all. That is what truly makes us as a race unique, the fact that we are all different. That's what gives us our advantages. That's what gives us our ability to evolve. Otherwise, we would just stay the same and stagnate. That would be a horrible thing. Now, there should be clearly defined limits, okay? Because when you get people who are open and honest, there will be those who will try to take advantage through manipulation or other means. So you need to have certain limits simply so that we can have clear benchmarks of appropriate and inappropriate behavior so that we don't get taken advantage of. But these aren't things that should rule our lives. These are just guidelines. So you can understand when someone is overstepping and not being helpful to the situation and thus not give them the attention that you think they may have deserved before you realize that. You need to respect the latitude for individual action within these limits too. So remember, everybody is different. So you can't, just because you wouldn't go to a certain place doesn't mean it's wrong for other people to go there. If you're not comfortable, maybe someone else is, and you can learn something from that, okay? So by being like this, you actually encourage individuals and people to be creative and use their ingenuity and imagination, okay? You want to be like that too. So basically, you don't want other people holding you back because of their quote-unquote limiting beliefs. At the same time, you don't want to let your limiting beliefs hold others back. So it's really important to take that step back, take a few breaths, and ask yourself, are these people making me feel uncomfortable because of what they're saying or because they're just saying? Is it because I'm uncomfortable with it and maybe I shouldn't be? Am I trying to quiet them because I don't believe in what they're saying because I think it's bad? Or because I have a closed mind and I want everyone to fit into my sense of what is right and wrong? It's really important to remember that we're all different, and that's one of our major benefits, okay? So don't hold other people back. But at the same time, keep an understanding that there are limits. Someone attacking someone else is not acceptable behavior. But someone giving constructive criticism and nurturing love to help them to change, that is. Okay, so when we're being given the freedom of self-expression, this allows us to explore our potential to the fullest, gives us the best possibility of becoming successful and healthy in our environment. So that's the way the world is. There are laws and there are regulations. But within these laws and regulations, we all have the ability to make the world a much better place, not just for us, but for everybody in it. Remember, I completely believe that if you're a little bit happier tomorrow, I will be happier tomorrow too. I may not know why. I don't care if I know why. I'm just happy. You see, for me, I have the understanding that if I'm a little bit happier now, I'm a little bit happier now because you're a little bit happier now. My energy level now at this point in our discussion is very high. I believe each and every one of you has been feeding me since the beginning of this. I think if you listen to the call afterwards, as I will, I think you'll notice that I get more and more emotional and more into it as we go. And I think that's thanks to all of you. So I want to take a moment now and express my gratitude to each and every one of you who is listening to this, because I need to thank you for sending me this wonderful, wonderful energy. And I can't thank you enough. And I hope that I have been giving you something in return, because we don't want this to be a one-way road here. Okay? What I'm talking about now is the last point I want to talk about with this. And it's bonding. It's connecting with people. And I believe that we have all connected on a emotional level, certainly, but I think on a physical level too, even though we may not be able to see each other. I think we can all relate to our circumstances, to our lives, and we all understand that we're much closer than we think we are to what we want in our lives. And please understand that that is exactly the truth. I'm not making this up. I'm not saying things just for the sake of saying them. We are here as a group because we are helping each other as a group. You know, when I get into the question and answer period soon, I'm going to ask you all to take part and to ask questions and make comments. Before and in previous times, I don't get a lot of comments. I get questions, but I don't get a lot of comments. I really hope that some of you have ideas on how other people can help themselves to be better. Share these things. And then maybe next week, get back to me after you've had to think about it, a chance to think about it, and let us all know how wonderful you felt all week long because you knew you were giving information that could help other people. That's an absolutely wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing, okay? When we bond with each other, it gives us a sense of emotional security and stability. I'm sure we all feel closer now. We're a group. We're a community. We're there for each other, and that's what really, really matters. And we can be free now to explore what's wonderful about ourselves, each other, too. And we don't have to worry if we say anything that someone's going to go, oh, Jesus, what are you talking about, blah, 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 you know, you're an idiot, you're this, you're that. We're all saying things from a place of love and understanding and peace and help for others and ourselves. So no one is going to get ridiculed here. No one is going to get reproached for what they're thinking or saying. This is a wonderful situation where we get to develop a healthy self-image of ourselves and a healthy identity. And I hope you understand that this is all part of your building, your natural building process to becoming more confident and having higher and healthier self-esteem. Okay? Now, we can allow other people to enter our environments and provide support for us in a cheerleader kind of way, like I do sometimes. I'm telling you, and I'm honest when I say this, you are all much, much closer than you think you are. That's why you've been drawn to this course and to the TMM products, because you know you're closer. You need someone to hammer this down into your heads until you finally understand that I'm not just saying this to be nice. I'm saying this because it's the truth, okay? And this is something that I will hammer at. You are all so much closer than you think you are. If you were farther away, you'd be doing other things that are much slower in nature. Not that they're poor or they don't work, but they're much slower in nature because you know you need to build a really strong base first. We are already building that strong base. We are already preparing the next stages. By the end of this course, every single person who's listened to it will have all the tools they need to take positive action to lead to positive changes in their lives. There's no question in my mind that that's exactly what will be. Now, bonding and having relationships with others is really important, as I've mentioned. And I have some hints and some points that I'd like to bring to you now to let you see how important it can be and really things that you can take to heart to help you to develop these things. So the first thing is when you talk to someone, look in their eyes. Don't look at their forehead. Don't look at their chest. Ha, ha, ha. Okay? Look at their eyes. Even if they don't look at your eyes, it doesn't matter. Look at their eyes. If you're interacting with people on a personal level, don't have a problem with touching them on the arm or the wrist or the shoulder, you know? There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing dangerous about that. It's a way of us interacting and bonding. It shows a comfort level, okay? Very, very important. Encourage people that you are in contact with to do things that they're ready for and that they're capable of. You know, sometimes we're too close to things and we don't see potential or possibilities the way we should. But people around us can see things much clearer. So wouldn't it be a wonderful world if you could tell me things that you see I'm capable of and I tell you things you're capable of and we both feed off each other so that we actually achieve some of these things? That is what it's all about. That's part of what the bonding is all about and what the relationship development is all about. When you speak with someone, do it in a loving and caring way. Do it like it matters, okay? Show respect to them. I really care about you. I feel real joy when you see them do it, too. You know, get bubbly, get silly, whatever you're inspired to do, to show these people and yourself how happy you are that things are changing, that things are growing, that things are getting better. Listen really carefully when people talk. Offer empathy and understanding to them, okay? Let them know if you don't understand them, ask questions. But let them know if you do understand, and let them know that you understand their circumstances, but also clarify for them that everything that happens is something to teach you something to make you better for the next step. Everything. So whatever happens, I was telling you about those two things that happened to me today. Well, I didn't tell you about the things specifically, but I told you about the results. They happened for a reason. Okay? I offered myself empathy and understanding, and by doing so and understanding that there's a solution, came up with solutions. Realized that even though these things didn't happen for me, or one thing happened and it was negative or appeared negative on the surface, it actually taught me something. The other thing that happened that appeared negative showed me that actually there's a better way. And if I had gotten what I was expecting, I wouldn't have gotten the better way. So in reality, I'm grateful for these things because they taught me what I needed to make my life actually better than it would have been. Be honest when you're describing things to people or dealing with problems. It doesn't help to sugarcoat things, especially when you're talking with yourself. Okay? It doesn't help. It actually hurts. You need to find a way, you know, some people call it tough love. You need to find a way to express it so that you're helpful. And often that way can be say what you're concerned about and then pump them up after with a compliment. Let them know that, you know, even though you have this issue to work on, you're still a good person. Big deal. We all have issues to work on. I have so many issues to work on, it's hilarious. Whenever I do any of these classes or talks, I think I help myself more than I help any of you. I feel very selfish sometimes. You know, it's hilarious. You need to be supportive to people because they may be facing some harsh realities of their life, and they could become fearful, scared, even concerned about what might happen tomorrow. So you need to be really supportive and understand and help them to understand that whatever is happening is happening to teach them something they need to learn. That is a positive, because when you learn something, it prepares you for what's to come. If you're having difficulty now, it's because you're learning lessons now that will help you to be successful and happy later. That's what it's all about. It has nothing to do with negative or bad or anything. You need to learn these lessons. Once you learn these lessons, you will move forward, guaranteed. You need to let the person grow to be their own person. And people need to let you grow to be your own person too, by encouraging the development of independent and autonomous thinking. So what that means is you listen to what I have to say, I listen to what you have to say, and when I say listen, we really listen, but we also understand that we need to take in what makes sense for us and ignore what doesn't make sense, and then make our own decisions. I can give you all the advice in the world. You can give me all the advice in the world. We need to take this in our own context We need to rehash it in our own minds and then take action. And if that action proves to be not the best action, I can't turn around and blame you after that. This was a decision I made. You can't blame me. We have to understand that we are independent people and we are making our own decisions. You can assist in becoming a good problem solver by encouraging people to be open and explore and discuss all the different options that might be available and the alternatives that they may have presented to them when they're experiencing problems at home, school, work, wherever. Okay? If you feel that you're not bonding with people around you, show them a list like this. Okay? I suspect, or even ask them about any of these things, I suspect that all of these people will be more than happy to explain what it means and how they can help you to help yourself. In general, you basically need to make an environment that is conducive to all these positive aspects that we have described. Okay? Basically things that will help you to be guided by your true and inner voice. You need to surround yourself by people who are loving, caring, and supportive. Stay away from people who are fountains of negativity. They only bring you down. I mentioned this before. I'll mention it again. If someone is saying things in a way that they are bringing you down, and it's all about, I'm better than you are, that's just their way of telling you, I'm not someone you should be listening to. You can be grateful to them and move on. Say, thanks very much. See you later. Okay? Look at your surroundings. At work, do you have space, like maybe an area of the wall of your cubbyhole or your office, that fosters positive emotions? Take pictures of the people you love, of things that make you smile, and place them around you. If, you know, it's a great idea to have a plant, whether flowers or not, it doesn't matter. Have something that's alive that you can take care of and grow and notice it growing, okay? If motivational sayings help you, then cut some out or print them out and tape them up where you work as well so you can always see them. Keep these things in your head. It makes you think. Your general thinking patterns turn to positive, good thoughts when you are surrounded by things that you interpret as positive and good. Okay? You should always be happy in your own home, and you should be happy to get there at the end of the day. So personalize your house. Okay? I know most of us live with other people, but it's important that all of us get to express ourselves and have a place to go that is distinctly our signature, something that makes us happy. Okay? So hang pictures there that you like. Maybe drawings from your kids, quotes, posters, arts, whatever. Okay, use anything that makes you feel good. So that if you don't have the best, you know, day, you can go somewhere that's like your happy place. And it helps you to be serene and happy. Surround yourself with whatever you believe is beautiful. If you like how you look, put a million pictures of yourself up there. Be careful of your ego in that case, though, okay? Now, if you're in a negative environment, the best thing to do is to change it. But the question crops up, what if you can't? What if, you know, your office doesn't allow you to hang up little flowers and have little troll dolls sitting on your desk and things like that? You know, not everyone can sit up and just quit a job because it's an unhealthy environment. You do have certain realities. You have to pay your bills, things like this. Okay, so it's not always to change. It's not always easy to change these things, which can be negative. There are things that you can do, though, to minimize the negativity and there are certain people and situations that will tend to threaten your self-esteem. They will be threatened by your attempts at growing your self-esteem, as a matter of fact. So you need to stay away from these people in order to maintain the positive thinking that you're trying to cultivate. So, for instance, some things that you should consider. At work, beware of the competitive dog-eat-dog type ideas that we all have to deal with, okay, where everyone is just fighting to get ahead, and they're all going to crawl all over you to get there, okay? This is where non-appreciative people usually thrive in this kind of a situation. No one will be grateful for anything you contribute, even if you skip your lunch and your dinner just to stay there. Most of the time, you work way too much without getting help from the people concerned. Stay out of this drama, okay? It'll just ruin your self-esteem. You keep doing things and doing things and doing things, and you're just not appreciated. Stop doing them. Competition is everywhere, and you can compete healthy in a healthy way. But don't, but keep an eye on what's going on in your life, okay? And don't let it overwhelm you. And if you see that it's not working, stop doing it. You're just hurting yourself, okay? People who are bulldozers and who suck up to their bosses and who gossip all the time or whine or stab you in the back, you know, people who are trying to control you or complaining or always, you know, angry, all these people give you bad vibes, and you can't always avoid them at work. But what you can do is you can understand that they just don't understand. And you can imagine them as being happy and understanding. And when you understand that they do not really have an understanding of life and how the universe works, that will take a lot of the venom out of what they do to you. Okay? And again, look at the pretty picture. Imagine in your head, if you can't hang up pictures, imagine in your head something that's nice. Change your mood because you're the one with the control. They will try to control you, but ultimately you're the one who gives them that control. Change it by flipping the switch to on. When they try to turn your switch off, you just flip it back on. Okay? And understand that they flipped it off because they're miserable and you don't want to get drawn into their misery. And that's all there is to it. Okay? Change. Change is actually a challenge because it's very difficult for most of us to do. It's very difficult because it tests how flexible we are, how much we can adapt. Okay? And literally, we have to change how we think for any kind of real change to occur. So understand that it may be a little difficult or uncomfortable in the beginning. So little steps, little steps, little steps, until it gets more comfortable, and then you move yourself forward. Okay? Life will always involve change. Without it, you'll be bored. Okay? We must understand, though, that with little steps, we will get used to changing on a regular basis, and this will indeed help us to be better people, happier people, and have more confidence, because we will understand that regardless of what circumstances are or what's required of us, we know that we can adapt, and we will adapt, and you know you can adapt. Even if you have a hard time adapting, you've already adapted thousands of times in your life. Just look at your own life, and you will see that you've already adapted thousands of times. Okay, let's talk very quickly about some past experiences. It's okay, you know, to go, ugh, if you stub your toe, all right? But don't let that transfer yourself into fear that every time you walk, you're going to smash into something, okay? Don't let past experiences make you expect repetitions every single time. If you're in a bad relationship with a guy or a girl, and it was a really bad relationship, don't project those experiences onto the new guy or girl. They are a different person. Give them an opportunity to prove or disprove who they are to you with a clean slate, a tabula rasa, okay? Nothing else involved, just a clean slate. Acknowledge that you experienced these things, move past it. Remember, it's before, it is not now. Don't dwell on it. If you let go of the past, you have a healthy lifestyle. The potential is there. If you hold on to the past, you don't live in the present. There's nothing you can do. So please understand, just because someone might do something that might remind you of somebody, they are not that person. Let them be who they are and see who they are. Don't make it that way. Now, let's look at the world in general. There are, as we all know, my belief on the news media is if you're going to read the paper, only the entertainment section or the sports. If you're going to watch television, don't watch television news at all. I believe most of it is made up and all about fear-mongering. So we all know that there are a lot of terrible things that happen in the world. Okay, and it can bring people down. But it's really important not to wrap yourself up in all the negatives. It's important when you're building self-esteem, you must learn how to make the best out of the worst situations. If a disaster happens halfway across the world, sending fear and pain to them in your thoughts doesn't help. Remember, we're all connected here. What's important is that you send love and understanding. For all we know, the life we experience on this planet amounts to a second and a half of our real life, of our total life. We are energy. We are the only source of energy, as far as we know, in the universe that does not have a source. So you move your arms, you walk, you do this, you do that. A physical energy, the body energy, you get from food, okay? But your energy, the energy that fires your neurons, that makes you who you are, that gives you your personality, this energy does not have a source. It is the only energy in the world that does not get used up. For all we know, our existence in this plane right now is a second and a half of our complete existence. So it doesn't matter what the experience is. If someone has a horrible end in a volcano erupting or an earthquake or something, send them love and peace. Do not send the people, the survivors, the people who didn't make it, do not send them anger and anguish. Send them love and peace. It will do so much better for you. It will do so much better for them. I've mentioned in the previous class about walking into a room where people are happy and where they're sad. The energy is unmistakable in both cases as soon as you walk into the room. What makes you think that that power does not travel all the way across the world? It may not be as strong if you're not within visual distance, but it's still there. And think about it, when you have millions and millions and millions of people all sending fear and anguish to people who have already experienced fearful and anguish type events, it's the last thing they need. Send them love and understanding and peace. This is what you want. Okay. Lastly, genetics. The way you are and your behavioral traits are said to be a mixed product of your genetics, your upbringing, and your environmental surroundings. Okay? You have, very important to remember, you have your own identity. If your parents were failures in certain respects, or if your brothers or sisters, or if you feel you were, it doesn't mean that you have to be that way still or that you have to imitate what they were. Learn from other people's experience so you don't have to make the same mistake once. Okay, my throat is killing me. I want to share the floor now. I'm opening this up to comments and questions now. If you have any questions and you're on the web, please feel free to type them in the little box on the web and press submit, and I'll get to them. If you have any questions or comments on the phone, and I encourage all of you that you don't have to ask me questions all the time, you can certainly make comments that you might feel are helpful to others. If you're inspired to say something, I encourage you, I ask you to take that little step. Look, you're on the phone, you're on the web. You're completely anonymous here, okay? Nobody knows who you are. This is part of that first little step now that you can take to share something with the rest of us, okay? And to help us all be better people. So, if you're on the phone, *2, you press star and the 2 button, that will let me know that your hand is up, and I will be happy to include you in the conversation. If you're on the web, simply fill out the form, ask your question, make your comment, and we are ready to go. So I'm opening this up now. I'm just going to give you guys about 30 seconds to maybe formulate what you want, and then we're going to get started with the question and answer period. Okay, so *2. Anybody want to talk? Apparently not yet. That's quite all right. Let's see here. Okay, I'm going to go to some of the web questions at this point, and we will go from there. So, the first question is from Peter in Toronto. Peter, can you hear me? I'm in Toronto too. Okay, Peter says that he's a member of my private club, and he wants an email address where I can be reached. Okay, for any of you that needs to reach me personally, you're welcome to do so. My email address is Maury, M as in Mary, O as in Oscar, R, so that's Richard, Y for yellow, at quantum, Q-U-A-N-T-U-M, so that's quantum-hyphen, which is a hyphen, okay, or a negative sign for those of you who don't know, mind, M-I-N-D, -power, power.com. I'm happy to get to any emails you send me. Now, just so you know, if it's urgent, put a bunch of asterisks in the subject line. Additionally, I get over 1,000 emails every day, so I may not be able to get back to you in a timely fashion. If it is of an urgent nature, I do have an autoresponder set up on my email program that will give you my personal phone number as well. If it is urgent, you can call me. If you do not have a long-distance plan and you're in North America, I can call you back myself. So just say, hey, Maury, this is my phone number. Can you call me right back, please? I will do so. If you're calling from Europe or Asia or anywhere else in the world, then all you need to do is shoot me an email with your telephone number, and I will call you back that way, okay? So please remember that I am here for you, although I do get a lot of people tugging at me, and just in case I don't have the opportunity to get back to you as quickly as you need, you can always contact me, okay? We have Alexis, also from Toronto. Oh, I don't think we've ever had so many people from Toronto on the phone before. Okay, Maury, I've listened to Neural Synergy and Eden Energy Wave Dynamics, both fantastic and soothing. Well, thank you very much. I'm glad you find them that way. However, I want to know why, when I experience the most anxiety or nervousness, it's the triliminals on self-confidence and self-esteem that I find most calming and uplifting for the entire day and even days after instead of Eden. Now, she thought that Eden quiets the negative voice, but the triliminals are like five times more powerful at calming the anxiety. I'm not sure I have to answer this question, judging by what she says next. Does this mean the anxiety problem, I mean the really bad anxiety that I have, is all caused by low self-esteem, and that I need to work at the self-esteem instead? Look forward to your comments. Well, Alexis, I don't think I need to say anything more. I believe that the triliminals on self-esteem are helping you because self-esteem is the issue. And you know that. Now, Neural Synergy and Eden are helping you as well. They're what you might call tilling the soil. So I strongly suggest that you continue listening to those on a regular basis as well. But definitely stick with the triliminals. On a call I did, the monthly call I did for the membership, I mentioned to people on the last call that the protocol that I give in the manual for all of these different programs and recording systems is a starting point. And it's actually designed that people in a little while will start developing their own listening protocols. And every day that might change. They should go with their instinct. Like Alexis is experiencing, Alexis finds that the triliminals are helping more with the anxiety than Eden or Neural Synergy. For Alexis, when anxiety is cropping up, perhaps the triliminal is the best way to go. Now, I believe you know this already because you feel better when you listen to it. I'm assuming that when you get these anxious feelings, you now listen to the triliminals. So you've really answered your own question, but by doing so, you've also taught a lot of us a very valuable lesson as well. You've let us know that we need to trust our instincts. If you're noticing that something is better for you than something else, then use it. Let yourself adjust the listening protocol and your actions appropriately. That is part of your personal development, okay? It's taking responsibility for yourself here. It's not a matter of me telling you what to do. It's a matter of you telling you what to do. I have developed these systems specifically with you in mind. This is not about you getting dependent on me or my opinion. This is about you learning to trust yourself. And as this happens, and as you start taking action based on how you're trusting yourself, you will start getting more and more confidence in your ability to do this because you will find that things are working out better for you. So, Alexis, and anyone else who this might apply to, I hope that helps. Let's go to Kate in Toronto. Hi, Maury. My self-esteem is on the low end. I notice that people can see that and take advantage of my being too nice. Should I stop dealing with others until I build up a healthy level of self-esteem or continue to be nice to them while I'm in the process of building up self-esteem, but feel totally unvalued and down at the same time by the way that I'm treated? Thank you. Well, Kate, my suspicion is that much of how you're feeling about yourself, about the undervalue and the being treated poorly, are things that you might not necessarily be inviting to yourself, but I believe that it's how you're interpreting things. You know, often how we interpret things gives us misinformation about what's really going on. Okay? Now, are you being nice when you say you're being nice, does that mean you're being taken advantage of, so people are always asking favors of you? If that's the case, and you feel like you want to do these favors, then do them. Do you feel like you're being taken advantage of because people don't do things for you? My question is, do you ask them? My guess is that you don't. Start asking people to help you too. When I was younger and, more athletic, quote-unquote athletic, I remember helping like 10 or 20 different friends move. And we'd be lifting couches up staircases and all kinds of scary stuff. And no one ever offered to help me move. Funny thing is, when I look back on it, they all asked me to help. I didn't ever ask them to help. I interpreted it at the time that I'm a nice guy and I'm being taken advantage of. In reality, they would have probably helped me had I asked. So, again, this isn't about them, I believe. I believe, Kate, that this is about you getting to the point where you can start asking the questions back. So, my suggestion, stay nice. This is who you are. If you're a nice person, you should be nice. If your gut tells you to say no, then say no or walk away. But otherwise, be nice. But start understanding, like we were discussing this week especially, your question is very pertinent because it exposes to us all that we, through our own actions, often create our circumstances. And yet, we're very quick to blame it on others. When we blame it on other people, we're making ourselves into a situation where we are taking away all of our power. Kate, you have all the power in the world. You are already developing a better sense of self-esteem. That's why you're here. So please, stay nice. Don't change who you are for anybody. But if your instinct tells you not to do something, then don't. That's all. You know, if somebody is going to treat you differently because you're not going to, you know, jump over barrels for them, then that's okay. You don't need them. These are not healthy people anyway. But if you don't want to do something and you say, you know what, I don't really feel like doing that, or I can't do that, or I don't want to do that, then they'll go, okay. And they'll still treat you with respect and love and joy and everything else. These are people you want in your life. It's kind of a way the universe is teaching you who is good in your life and who is bad in your life. And remember, one of the things we talked about in this class today is getting rid of the negative influences. So I think this is actually something that you should be grateful for, because it sounds to me like the universe is teaching you and helping you to get rid of the negative influences in your life. So congratulations, Kate. You have written something here that sounded like a negative, and in reality, to me, it's a very strong positive. You should be grateful for this. Congratulations. I'd like to mention, as I see there's a lot of people on the phone and nobody ringing through, I'd like to invite you to press star 2. That's star 2. And I'm happy to include another voice on the call. I'm sure you all would like to hear a different voice on the call at this point. So please, that's star 2. I'm going to go to another question on the web, and hopefully there will be someone arriving with something to say online shortly. So Don from Glendale noticed that there was very short notice, and he already agreed to attend another seminar at the same time. Will this be recorded for later listening like the first one? Yeah, we always record for later listening. We always have podcasts, and these podcasts will be available to all the people who signed up for this course. No problem. Okay, so nobody has to worry. If you missed part of this call and you're just coming in later on, don't worry. You'll be able to download the call in its entirety, and we'll be very happy to provide you with that. Okay? We also would like to apologize for taking so long to let you guys know the date of this particular podcast. We have had a discussion about this, and Song and I agree that we will be letting you know with lots of notice. The next call, actually, I will let you know the next call date before we get off this call, but Song will also send you notice of that probably tomorrow when he sends the notice for the download, okay? We're going to try to let you know the day after when the next date will be for the call. Just remember also that this is the second class out of 6. So we're moving forward, and we're going from there. We have Joe from Rochester, New York. Hi, Maury. Well, hi, Joe. We have Laura from Roseville. Hi, Maury. Well, hi, Laura. That's wonderful. I think this call is going to be a very quickie at this point. I get a lot of people being very nice and polite. Not a lot of comments, however. Okay. Star 2, for those of you on the phone, please step out of your shell, step out of your comfort level. You will feel amazingly free for it, okay? Star 2, guys and gals, star 2. All right, Guillaume from Montreal. Hi, Maury. Hi, Song. Hi, everyone. Thanks for the opportunity to connect. I don't know if any of you remember Guillaume from the last call, but I believe he was the comment that we ended with. A lot of wonderful insights, sharing ideas. I'd love for all of you to do the same. Okay, brought a tear to my eye, actually. Thanks a lot for that. I appreciate it. We have Angie from Leeds. Very nice of you to be here, Angie. I appreciate your being up so late. So, hi, Maury. It's Angie from Leeds, UK. I was talking with my friend Geraldine, who produces a BBC Radio 4 program. I guess BBC Radio 4 is the channel. At the moment, leading up to Christmas, she is doing an interview series called All in the Mind, which is why I told her about you. Shall I send her info about you? Would you like her email address, Angie? Oh, Angie, I am honored. I cannot think of anything that would be more thrilling for me. Please feel free to contact me. Again, my email address is Maury, M-O-R-R-Y, at quantum, Q-U-A-N-T-U-M, -mind, M-I-N-D, -power.com. For those of you who would rather not email but have Skype, you can reach me at Maury Zelko. That's M-O-R-R-Y-Z-E-L-C-O. Okay, for the Canadians, it's Z-E-L-C-O. So that's M-O-R-R-Y-Z-E-L-C-O. I'm available on Skype almost all the time, and I would love, if she has any interest, I'd be honored and thrilled to speak with her. So thank you very, very much. I appreciate it. Thank you. Okay, we have Ramona from Hannibal, Missouri. Ramona, you have the floor. Please join the chat, and thank you for adding your voice to this.
Well, I actually asked my question online, but since you were begging for someone to get on with, I went ahead. And so when you get to my question, just ignore it. My question is, I have had a computer problem, and because of that, I haven't been able to access the information that I need to be able to access your blog and to be able to get to the place where I can download your information because I lost my computer. So I lost the information on one computer. I have another one that doesn't have it on it, so I just happened on this email online, and so I'm kind of a little bit like a fish out of water here trying to kind of get back in, but yet unfortunately, I was out of town for a family tragedy, and when I came back, everything kind of went to peace. You know, everything was gone. So,
sure.
If I could find a way to get back to that information, it would really be helpful.
That is not a problem. Did you write down my email address?
Yes, I wrote it in another place, and I'm writing it in the front of my calendar so I can find it.
Okay. If you need me to repeat it for you, I'm happy to. This is what I suggest you do. In the interim, you must have a friend, family member, child, perhaps, who has a PC or a Mac?
Yeah, not a Mac.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and if not, you can always go to a library, too. What you do is just send me an email or contact me on Skype, however is easier, and let me know exactly what you're missing, and I will make sure I get everything to you that you're missing.
Okay,
you will miss nothing. These podcasts, after we're done with the chats, we actually record these calls instantly, and they're available almost immediately right after the call. Song sends a link afterwards. But if it takes you a few weeks, even a month, to be able to access these things, they will still be there for you. Okay?
Well, I haven't been
they
able
will
to
be
access
available.
I haven't been able to access October's triliminals. So
okay, well, that's no problem. Just keep track of what you're losing here. We have records of you as a member anyway. So you just let me know who you are. And I'll make sure that if those triliminals aren't up, I have them on a special server that I can send people links to. So if you do happen to miss, if you are a member of my private club, and you do, you know, because of server limitations, we can't keep all of the recordings up all the time, so we have to rotate through them. So if you happen to miss something and you're a member, you just let me know whatever you're missing.
Yes.
Okay?
Well,
and it'll be my pleasure.
Thank you.
Okay.
So helpful. Yes, absolutely.
Oh, I hope so, and I'll look forward to hearing from you again. Is there anything else that you'd like to ask right now?
Well,
you have me. Feel free.
Well, I don't know that you really want me to ask this question. So
ask anything, okay? Remember, it's all about comfort zones, right? Now, if you think that it might be outside of my comfort zone, don't you think it makes sense for Maury to walk the walk? So ask whatever question you want.
Okay. Well, what I had in mind was I have both your quantum mind power. And I have the quantum compass.
Okay.
As well, and I saw that when you came out with with the new offer, you actually included more recordings that I haven't had access to at bonuses.
Well, that's terrible. Send me an email with your receipt. That's okay. You just send me an email, and anyone out there who's on this call, okay? If you have bought previously, before we came out with some of these cool new recordings, then I don't want you missing out just because you are really wonderful people and bought a year ago or 2 years ago. So this is what we'll do. You send me an email with a copy of the receipt so I see that you actually purchased the system.
Well, the thing is, the receipt is in that other computer.
Well, that's okay. So just send me the email that you ordered with, because as I send you, because what will happen is I have a system where I'm going to put your address into an email. When I put the address into the email, it will say, thank you, we have sent this customer, again, their access. When I see that message saying that you have received your access or you were sent your access, that confirms for me that you purchased the program. So you do that and then include the recordings that you missed, that you believe you missed, as long as there are indeed, you know, bonuses that we included, I will send you these extra bonuses so that you can get caught up with all the people who purchased recently.
I would
love
that.
You have every right to have these recordings just like everybody else. And that applies to all of you. So if any of you purchased like a year or two or three ago and you've missed out on some of the cool new bonuses we have that you didn't get then, just send me evidence that you ordered and that you purchased. And I will be more than happy to send you links from a website that's off that I use for these kinds of things to download your own personal copies of all of these things as well. Please keep in mind that the links I will send you have a expiry date. They will be active for about 2 weeks, so you will need to download them within 2 weeks in order to get them. But it's my pleasure. And why would I mind that you would say that?
Well, I guess it's just thinking that you thought I might be taking advantage of this situation.
No. Why are you taking advantage? Look, get these things. Why shouldn't people who purchased it before? I'm fine with that.
Yeah, well, not everybody does that, and so I just just another evidence that you really do go the extra mile, and not only I myself, but everyone else on the line really appreciates that that you really are up there with your integrity, and you're so serious about helping us that you will go the extra mile,
my pleasure.
Backing things up. So thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for joining us, Ramona. And if you have anything else you'd like to comment on a little bit later on in the call, feel free to join us again. Thank you. Again, any of you on the phone who would like to follow Ramona's lead and join us on the phone, it's *2. We're going to go back to some web questions at this point. Chippo in Ottawa is a nice lady from Ottawa who's experienced all kinds of wonderful things from herself, but by using the tool called TMM. She just wants to say hi and mention that we're all here for the same reason, to boost our self-esteem and feel good about ourselves. Thank you, Chippo. We appreciate that. I'm sure we all do. George from Montreal. Hi, Maury. First off, thank you for your encouragement last week. You were spot on about my need to stick to things even when the results don't immediately show up. I've quit many times at that point and was impressed about how you picked up on that. This week, I'd like to ask you about how you can commit to having a high-performance life without tying it directly to your self-esteem. In other words, succumbing to perfectionism. I have done many things in my life, but all too often I have felt like none of it matters anymore, and I'm only as good as my latest performance. Okay, logically, I'm aware that it's a poor way to live. Yet it seems I'm emotionally wired that way. How can one overcome this? Well, George, you're already overcoming it. by participating in this course, by using the TMM recordings regularly, okay, and by following the protocols and the suggestions contained herein, like in these classes and in the actual recordings, you will find that this is already changing for you. I know you have these feelings like you're stuck. Lifelong lessons don't necessarily change overnight, so you need to follow the same advice from before. Stick to it. You will notice the changes, okay? Start looking. One way that will help you is start looking for the subtle changes, for the little things, the things that may not even matter that much, okay? Those are the things that will show you that you're actually moving forward. That's what's really important, okay? The little things. Don't wait for the big results to be happy. Allow yourself to be happy, even with the small little itty-bitty child steps first, okay? That's where it comes from. You talk about succumbing to perfectionism. Perfectionism isn't really about perfectionism. It's about the end result. Stop looking to the end result for your joy and your sense of accomplishment. Look at everything. You know, my dad does a painting, and my girlfriend paints too. When they start painting, I look at their painting, and quite frankly, they look like crap. Honestly, they look like garbage. Okay? However, my entire home is laced with their paintings because in the beginning, what looked like crap turned into beauty. This is what you need to realize about your life too. Just because something doesn't seem like it's providing results or may look like quote unquote crap, it's just the beginning. It's the skeleton. It's the structure. Okay? It's what gets built on that after. Keeping in mind, though, that you need that initial structure to create the beauty. So that's where you're at now. You're at the point where you need to be able to look at the structure. You need to look at the base. And you need to see where that's leading. And when you see where that's leading, you will see the beauty in the finished product even before that. It will allow you to actually move forward and to be happy and grateful, even for what seems like it's small and minuscule at the time. Okay, George? I hope that helps. We have Paul in Belfast. I've been listening to Quantum Confidence and noticed a big difference in my focus and general well-being since starting the program. What are the specific brainwave states utilized in the Quantum Confidence isochronic tracks? Is it best to listen to this particular track at the beginning of the day or in the evening? Okay, it's better to wait a few hours, two hours or so anyway, before you start listening to it. That's only because one of the brainwave frequencies is slow, and we don't want to give you a sense of lethargy during the day. We don't want to slow you down. Generally, it's a good idea to let your brain start picking up. If you want to listen to something quick in the beginning of the day, digital coffee is usually the best thing to start with, if you want to do right away, because that raises up your frequency into a more conscious and active state. As far as the specific brainwave states, I invite you, Paul, to email me at Morry, M-O-R-R-Y, at quantum-mind-power.com, and I will be happy to send you the brainwave frequencies for all of the recordings in the Quantum Confidence series. I don't want to really get into that now because that just takes up time, but I'm happy to send it to you, and on paper it'll make a lot more sense for you as well. People on the calls, it is star 2. Please feel free. I see you out there. Say hi, even if you just want to say hi. You know what? You don't have to have a comment. You don't have to have a question. Just say hi. Okay. I've got somebody who doesn't want to identify themselves on the web here, but is saying that they've experienced wonderful changes and they love it. So I think we all can relate to that. As we grow, as we learn, as we get more and more into things, we find that our lives get better. And what's really nice is that this person is expressing gratitude. I think the same person also mentions that they've used other programs that they kept purchasing at lower frequencies because they said that the brain isn't being pushed anymore. We all know who that is. And is that true with quantum? That's a load of crap. As a matter of fact, do you get used to eating? Do you get used to breathing? That's like saying, well, I've been breathing for 47 years now. what's the point of breathing anymore? I'm bored with it. I'm used to it. It doesn't make any sense to breathe. You don't get used to any of the brainwave frequencies. You go through all of these states from the first day you're born. It's all very natural. You do not get used to them. You do not get used to the recordings. You don't start losing an effect. It's called marketing. These people are marketing to you, okay? They are using the fact that most people have no clue what brainwave entrainment is from a functional standpoint, and they're trying to take advantage of you to scam you for money, okay? I don't know who you're talking about, wink, wink, but you know what my opinion is now, so I hope that helps. We're going to get to Jane in Toronto, a question she has, but first I see that somebody has decided that they would like to say hi. So from Ottawa, Ontario, you have the floor. Welcome to the talk.
Hi, Murray. It's Chipo. Thank
Hi,
you.
Chipo.
Thank you so much. Hi. You know, I've been using this, probably it's about two months, going on three. And my goodness, I really, really appreciate the changes I see in myself and my self-esteem, even though it's not exactly where I feel it can be, it's getting a lot better.
That's so
I
nice
found
to hear.
The last couple of days, I find the neuro is very powerful. I mean, that's been the most powerful program I'm using, because each time I use it, it goes right into something that's been buried very deeply. Like last night, I found that something in my back, I've had a problem in a couple of vertebrae have been so tight and nobody could loosen them. Even a chiropractor, they couldn't get them loose. But you know what? I think this is helping. Whatever has been lodged there, I think last night got released. I thought I was dying.
Oh, wow.
But it just kind of, I don't know, something happened and I fell asleep. I woke up this morning, the pain was gone.
Well, it just goes to show you the power of our minds, you know. And, you know, believe me, when you think in a certain way, it's not just necessarily you thinking in a certain way. Often, the chemical balance of your brain actually inspires mood and it inspires how you're thinking. And you may wonder, why am I thinking this way? Why am I thinking this way? I mean, that's the whole theory behind antidepressants. They give you things that they think you're missing. That's what it's all about. They give you things that they believe you're missing. And the idea is that, well, you're missing these things. So if you're missing them, we give them to you, you're not going to be depressed anymore. So that's probably what happened with the neural synergy with you in this particular case, is that you were lacking certain neurotransmitters and other brain chemicals that were needed to help you to see things as they really were. This probably resulted in certain, you know, chemical balances being formed, which then allowed your muscle to relax itself.
Yeah, I mean, even though it was in the middle of my chest, you know, I mean, I'm an ex-nurse, so I'm thinking,
okay,
is this a heart attack? But my pulse was fine. I wasn't sweating. It was, you know, I didn't have all those signs and symptoms of a heart attack. And I thought, well, no, it has to be this. Something is happening. And honestly, it's like that tightness that I've had for I don't know how long, it's like gone. That pain that was always there, it's gone.
Well, it's, you know, it could very well be, you know, one of the things about properly engineered entrainment is that it can bring up repressed issues. And often I get people asking me or telling me that, you know, they've been using the product for a month or two and they feel terrific. They love it. But now all of a sudden they're getting agitated, they're getting angry, they're feeling this tightness in their head or in their chest or in their throat. And what's going on? And what happens is sometimes things are buried so deeply that we don't even recognize them for what they are anymore. We don't even know what they are anymore on a conscious level. And it'll still bring it, it'll still come out, though. So we misinterpret. Like you said, we think it's a heart attack. We think we're having migraines. We think the program might be hurting us. You know, whatever is going on, these things are all healthy to come out of you. It's never good to push poison back down inside your body just so you don't see it anymore. So my suspicion is that what happened or is happening for you is that certain issues that may have been really severely buried might be starting to emerge and come out. Now, when they come out, like you say, they come out, and now you feel the sense of relief. You know, a lot of people don't even notice they feel a pressure until the pressure's gone, because you get so used to it, right?
Right, right.
You know, you're just used to it.
I mean, it's great. It's like, oh, my goodness, I keep touching myself, you know, to feel, gosh, I'm still here. You know, I can actually take a deep breath without feeling that tightness in my chest.
Isn't that nice?
Thank you.
Well,
thank
keep
you
in
so
mind, you're very welcome, Chippo, but one thing I need to point out to you and anyone who might be hearing this is that the TMM recordings are the tool. You made the choice to use them. You made the choice to use them with the intention that you've used. You are the one who gets all the credit for the benefits.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a tool. I said this last time. You build a house. You don't hold up this hammer and go, hey, look at this hammer that built my house. Right?
Right, right. Yeah, what I also find, what the intention to do something, that I find that really helps me. When I, before I listen, set my intention for listening.
Smart.
And that really gets something going when I have an intention.
Well, I think that's very wise, and I really want to thank you for sharing that, because a lot of people don't necessarily understand the power of intention or the power of their own mind, and they probably don't understand that a lot of what they're going through is probably the result of misdirected intention. You know, we can have intention to hurt ourselves without realizing that. Sometimes we feel like we deserve it. We feel like we don't deserve to have good things. So we bring bad things because that's our intention, to prove to ourselves that we're right. So, you know, it's important that we understand that the nuances of our mind are often very screwy. And if we have a better understanding as to how it works, we can often control it and help it to make us happier and more effective as people, and, you know, make our lives easier and keep them. You know, I'm sure you've noticed, Chippo, that as you're improving, people around you are noticing and are brighter. Their energy is brighter around you, too. You know, this is just what happens. You know, and this is how it happens. When we interact with people, our energy is a direct influence on them. And if our energy is good and healthy, then their energy is going to get better, too. And, you know, that's what it's all about. Like, you're a teacher, right? You help people. You teach people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important for you to be able to connect with people and have that intention that they understand that, look, I want to make you a better person. I want to give you every opportunity to be happy and successful.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And good for you. I think it's a very noble thing to do, you know, as a profession or even just as something you want to do. You're walking down the street and you see someone who needs help, you help them, you know?
Yep.
Everybody can get these feelings. And I'm sure you also notice that when you do help someone, it makes you feel great about yourself, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So everybody listen
well, I mean,
to that. Everybody do that.
Yeah, this weekend I decided I wanted to write my book that I've been procrastinating forever, and I just decided I'm going to do it. And I don't think I would have stayed in my apartment for 2 days writing if I hadn't been using this program.
Well, again, it's the tool that you're using to help you to better understand. And that's exactly the purpose of these recordings. And it really warms my heart when I hear stories like that, because it lets me know that, you know, I've maybe created a tool that's helping you to help yourself, and that makes me feel good about myself.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But ultimately the results are something you should feel good about. I don't feel responsible for your good results. I'm happy that, you know, a tool I created helped you, you know, quote unquote, to build your house. But at the same time, I'm not petty enough to think that, you know, I'm responsible for it. You are completely responsible for it. And you should feel really happy with yourself. And I hope everybody out there realizes that, you know, it's you. You know, even when you take this course and you do all this stuff, maybe you'll learn something that will help you, but that's only if you use it.
Yep.
So it's all about you. It has nothing to do with me. It's all about you. Thanks so much for sharing, Chippo. Is there anything else that you'd like to share while you're here?
No, I think I'm good for today. Thank
you. Okay, well, thank you so much for sharing, and have a wonderful night. Okay, we're going to go back to the web. I noticed there's a bunch of people who have made some more comments. Thank you, Chippo, for sharing again. Jane in Toronto, sometimes when I listen to the triliminals, I experience seeing a bright circle of light with neon bright colors around it. This has happened a few times. Any ideas about what this is? Well, first of all, you're welcome, Jane. I appreciate the fact that you appreciate the call. Thank you. Yeah, when you use these recordings, even the triliminals, the very nature of the triliminal and the entrainment tones, which are contained within, can activate certain centers of the brain. And it's possible that you're having certain centers of your brain activated, which are giving you this feeling of light and brightness. I'm sure it feels clean and pure and also very enlightening and enlivening. And these are just different areas of your brain being activated due to your experience. Now, not everyone is going to experience this. Everybody tends to experience these things in a different way. But what you're experiencing is totally fine. It's kind of like how you interpret things. You know, broken telephone. I can say a line, and 10 people will interpret it and give 10 different definitions. So that's what's happening with you. Not everybody will experience that kind of an experience. But everyone will experience something unique to themselves. So I hope you're not worried about that. It's quite cool. And I hope you experience more of them, as a matter of fact. So please don't worry about it. It's just a really good sign that it's helping you. And I would expect that the bright colors and the light are all very good signs that you're moving exactly to where you need to go. Joe in Rochester. Hi, Maury. I was divorced about 13 years ago, and I've had confidence issues with women ever since, meeting them and sustaining any kind of relationship. I'm very pleased that you came out with the Attract the Perfect Partner subliminal. I've only been using the new Quantum Confidence program for about 2 weeks, so I don't have any breakthroughs to report yet, but I'm hopeful. My question is, which of the triliminals will be best to attract the perfect partner? Okay. Actually, Joe, I strongly suggest that you join the membership club as fast as you can. And the reason why I'm suggesting that is this month's triliminals have to do with relationships. And having the right attitude for relationships will help you a great deal with attracting a partner that is good for you. Now, as far as confidence is concerned and stuff, keep using Quantum Confidence. If you use it according to the protocol, at least for the first few weeks, until you start developing your own protocol, you will start finding differences. I also suggest that if you send me an email, I've given out my email address about 100 times so far, so I won't do it again, but if you send me an email or contact me on Skype at Maury Zelko, M-O-R-R-Y-Z-E-L-C-O, or Z-E-L-C-O, then and ask me, then just shoot me a little information to show that you have purchased Quantum Confidence, and I will be happy to send you my protocol for directed manifestation, which will also help to augment the effect and get you moving in the right direction. Again, I'd like to point out to Joe and everybody, you're so much closer than you think you are, so stop holding yourselves back with your thoughts, okay? That's a lot of what these systems are about and what the protocols are about. It's all about changing your thinking patterns, getting them out of these old habits that probably don't even apply to you anymore anyway. So, anyone who would like to chat, again, it's star 2 on the telephone, and for those of you on the web, it is just filling it out. I will keep this call going probably another 10 or 15 minutes. I am getting a little tired, as I'm sure you can all understand. This call has so far been almost 2.5 hours. And I do appreciate everybody for sticking around and for joining us. And those of you who will be downloading this and listening to it in a podcast form, you're all appreciated too. So thank you. Mona in Hannibal, I believe that's in Missouri. She's part of the private club. Oh, right. Okay, we just spoke with Mona. Well, Mona, you know what to do. We already discussed that. Thank you very much. Okay. Guillaume in Montreal. Okay. Guillaume is a great guy who has no trouble expressing himself, and I'm very appreciative to that. I'm going to read what he has to say here, and we'll go through it, okay? So, Guillaume. That's how you pronounce it. Guillaume. Sorry about that, and I do appreciate your correction. Okay. Hey, Maury, wonderful presentation. Information and understanding as always. Well, thank you very much. It's so nice to be appreciated. I can't even tell you. Thanks again. Okay, about the connection that you talked about, I want to say that I feel it in my heart as if we're all physically together in a room. Well, you know what, Guillaume? That's exactly how I pronounce it. That's exactly how I feel, too. I feel like we're all family, actually, and it's a really wonderful, warm place to be right now, and I appreciate all of you so much. You know, I even feel the energy of people not here. I feel the energy of everyone who will hear this in the future. It's an incredible feeling. I'm so grateful to it. Also, something I found great and funny was to hear my comment at the end of the previous conference, and that you did so well pronouncing my name. I know it's a bit hard in English, being a French name. It felt great to share thoughts with all of us. Thank you. Well, thank you, too. I really appreciate your sharing things. Also, I wanted to share with you and ask your thoughts on this. I've been working on something that has to do with shyness, self-esteem, and confidence. That is, when I'm in a public place, like a mall, a restaurant, school, grocery store, I feel as if everyone is looking at me. Well, I strongly suggest you wear clothes next time and you won't have that experience. Sorry, I couldn't resist. Okay, that I'm being observed, criticized. I start looking and paying attention to myself, to my moves, as if I cannot do anything wrong. Before I bring attention to it, I was identified to this part of me and lived it as if it was me. But now that I disidentified with it as being me, and I don't want to feel that way anymore, I started observing those feelings when they come up, as if it's not me, but something in me or my ego or mind, and realize that people are actually not staring at me. Well, it sounds to me like you're doing exactly the right thing, because quite frankly, you're 100% correct. They aren't staring at you. This is purely a matter of you, for whatever reason, feel some kind of self-consciousness, and that is making you feel like everybody is looking at you. The truth of the matter is, people may glance at you, just like you glance at others. It's natural, it's normal, and I assure you, there is nothing negative going on in what they're thinking. There has to be a lot of people, though, that feel that way. I'm sure there are. I used to be like that, too. Once you get more self-confidence in yourself, you still may feel that way, but you'll feel good about people looking at you. Again, it's your interpretation of the circumstances. Maybe people are looking at you. Maybe there's something really cool about you. Maybe there's something about your energy. I can tell by the comments that you made last class and this one that you have a really cool understanding and energy, and it wouldn't surprise me if you attract glances from people in a positive way. So I think you need to ask yourself, why do I interpret this? And I think everybody needs to think about it this way. Why do we interpret these things as negatives all the time? Why can't they be positives? In my opinion, this is a positive. My gut instinct, Guillaume, basically, this is a positive. And you're just misinterpreting it. Okay, I will continue. I can be in any of those places with not a lot of people, and it won't happen. I get uncomfortable when I'm in a crowd. So now you're understanding that this is what you're doing to yourself, okay? This is not other people. Understanding is halfway there. Start using the recordings with that intention, understanding that you want to have a better understanding when you're in areas. You should not have any fear of being judged because you're not being judged. People who judge are not in a position to, unless they're in a court of law, all right? Thank you for your thoughts and response. Well, I want to thank you for your thoughts and response, and like so many other people, you've answered your own question. I don't know if you people understand this or not, okay? However, you need to understand it. You need to start paying attention that you know these answers. You're writing me questions, and you're giving me the answer in your question. Pay attention. This is what I mean by you're closer than you think you are. You already have, many of you, to a large degree, an understanding of your circumstances, your situations, and what it will take to take care of these things. You're not looking for it because you think the answer is outside of you. Start looking inside. I implore you all to look inside. The next time you use any of the recordings, before, like while you're setting it up, think to yourself, I am looking now inward for my answers. I am looking inward for my answers. I have found my answers looking inside of myself. That's where the true answer for any of your questions resides. If I give you something that resonates with you, that sounds right to you, it's only because you have communicated this to me. And I am now an external voice repeating for you what you already know inside but haven't chosen to look at. Okay, so please understand that. I hope that helps. Rick in Arizona. Hi, Maury. I purchased your course with some healthy skepticism, you and a million other people, after having listened to Mr. Harris's meditation. However, I have to say I love your program. and have felt a shift in my inner feelings of well-being to the positive side after being at the lowest point emotionally in my life, having lost my job after 3 decades. Before you continue, I just want to... Okay, I'll finish and then I'll say my point. And I love listening to your podcast. Thank you so much, Rick. I really appreciate your feedback. It's very nice to hear. Keep up your great work in changing lives. Well, I will change that, Rick, too. I will try to keep up my great work. I hope it's great work in helping others to change their lives. Losing this job after 3 decades, I look at that as opportunity. You've done everything you could do in that other job. Now you have opportunity, Rick. You're in an exciting time in your life. So many people are stuck in something and they can't get out. You've been given an opportunity. I think you're in a great part. Hey, I'm 48 years old almost, okay? In December, I turned 48. 4 years ago, I went through what you're going through. Boy, what a change. What an amazing time of life you're walking into. If I were you, I'd be excited. Like, I can't even explain how excited that you should feel. Okay, look, I can't even speak properly. I'm so excited for you. All right, I'm going to go to a couple more messages, but if there's anybody else on the line, I see there's a bunch of you. *2 lets me know you're there, and I'm happy to welcome you to the call. If you've already been on and you have something else to say, don't be shy. *1 yourself again. If you haven't been on yet, please feel free to, you know, and even if it's just to say hi. I just want to say hi to everybody, and I appreciate all of you. That's a wonderful bit of energy. It's a wonderful thing to share. I'm going to go to Tina's message from the UK. Tina, thank you so much for being with us. I know it's very late there now, and I appreciate, as I'm sure everybody does, your energy and your presence here with us tonight. Thanks, Maury. The call is great. Well, thank you very much. You're just as much a part of it as any of us are, so thank you, Tina, too. I agree with what you say about accepting criticism. I recently used the quote-unquote, well, she didn't put that there, but I'll put it there, sandwich approach with someone where I first gave them a genuine compliment that, oh, look at that. I didn't even know somebody else had called it something. Okay. Then lovingly explained their misunderstanding of me and then finished with another compliment and made sure that I left the person feeling good. Previously, I would allow situations to build up inside of me and then not have the confidence to say how I feel. I am very proud of myself with the way I handled it. Well, you know what, Tina? I'm proud of you, too, and I'm grateful for you to share a real-world experience of some of this advice so people can see that it really works and it's not just words. I know that the Quantum Confidence recordings are helping me tremendously as I am a daily listener. Well, good for you, Tina. Practice makes perfect, as they say. I feel so much better about myself, and I'm looking forward to the future. I appreciate all the value you give, Maury. Well, thank you very much. It's 3 a.m. here in the UK, and you are always worth staying up for. Well, thank you very much, Tina. You're appreciated, and your comments are appreciated, too. Thank you so much for sharing. We have Cynthia from Bethlehem. Wow, that's cool. As a professional hypnotist, I have been using brainwave entrainment for 20-plus years, usually working with Photosonics and or the Galaxy Machine from Theta Technologies. Now, just so you all know, Photosonics and the Galaxy Machine, I believe, are light and sound machines, okay? They incorporate the presence of flickering lights as well as pulsing tones, usually in synchrony with each other, for the sake of putting people into altered states, much like the brainwave entrainment using TMM does. My question is, what makes your system different? Okay, well, first of all, the only light and sound machine that I would even think about recommending to anybody would be, it's currently called the PAL 36, P-A-L, and the number 36. It can be found on a website called mindalive.com. The reason why I suggest this light and sound machine and none of the others to anybody, I have tried the Photosonics machine. I wasn't overly impressed. Galaxy machine, I'm unfamiliar with. However, I do know that the David series of brainwave entrainment machines are the subject of constant studies and legitimate research in hospitals and universities all over the world on a regular basis. David Seaver, who is my mentor and the creator of the David system, actually is asked regularly to talk at neurological conferences. I suspect, now his machine has also recently been given medical device status by the Canadian government here in Canada. He's out of Edmonton, by the way, Edmonton, Alberta, which is a province in approximately the center of Canada. Now, the reason I bring all this up is that these other products, I suspect the creators aren't doing conferences with neurologists. I suspect that their machines and devices aren't being used in legitimate medical and psychological research in hospitals and universities across the world. And the reason I bring that up is that I have done a lot of research on everything possible when it comes to entrainment, and most of what's out there isn't based on any real science. So I can tell you that the Photosonics device, whereas it's kind of fun, and it does provide some effect, and I will assume that the Galaxy machine does that as well, the spacing of the tones is not 100% accurate in the Photosonics. It might be or might not be in the Galaxy. Again, I can't speak to that machine. But the science behind the creation of the actual programs that are embedded in these machines are not very useful. Now, they might be good from a – now, you say you're a hypnotist, so I can see how they'd be very good in a disassociative effect. They may act reasonably well as a deepener or even to help as an induction or as part of an induction, but they don't really do a lot in this in the sense of entrainment. Now, if you're using them specifically with hypnosis, I will give them the benefit of the doubt and say they're probably good enough. Okay? When you talk about David's equipment or my recording system, our stuff is designed and based on legitimate science. I want to reiterate during this question period that we will have a research project that was funded by the Brazilian military, the government in Brazil, and done at a predominant Brazilian university that points out the beneficial effects of TMM recordings. Specifically, our recordings this was the topic, actually, of this particular research project. I was contacted by their military, asked to participate in creating a protocol for them to do this research, and then they did this research independent, and this is totally independent, and once it is fully translated, it will be made available to everybody. So the biggest difference between what makes my system different and these other people is that they are using either outdated evidence or inaccurate evidence. That's been the biggest problem I found with all these people, is that they do not use any kind of real medical, psychological, or physiological, including brain chemistry, knowledge when they make their recordings. As such, and again, if you're using it specifically as a hypnosis tool, so you're not using it to entrain anybody, but you're just using it to disassociate, you know, things like that, then I don't think there's a problem with that. I don't think you need to concern yourself. But if you're using them exclusively for entrainment, I would call them suspect, and I don't have a lot of confidence. Before I discovered Dave Seaver, just so you know, everybody out there, I actually researched every single make and model of this kind of device out there on the market. Every single one of them I bought and tried, and I gave most of them back except for the David Paradise, it was called at the time. And I also ignored where they were located. It just so happened that I was in Toronto and David was in Edmonton. I discovered this after I had chosen that device, finding that it actually was based on research. The fact that it's been called a medical device in Canada, I believe it's called Class 1. I may be wrong there. It might be Class 2. But at any rate, it's been given medical device status in Canada, shows the difference. There's a lot of other audio recording systems out there, one of which was alluded to by a previous comment, that don't actually follow any real rules of entrainment or the physiology or psychology behind it. And, you know, the proof is in the pudding. When you read the testimonials from these other people, they tend to be kind of normal. I kind of think I may be sleeping better. I kind of think maybe I'm learning a bit easier. We have people who have life-changing events on a regular basis, and there's a reason for that. When you put that kind of intention into your work, when you develop, I've developed, it's over 60 or 70 processes now that I apply to each and every one of my recordings. that are all based in science, in psychology, in intuition, in spirituality. All of these things are meshed together in a synergistically compatible way so that they all augment and help each other to give you, the listener, the best possible chance at achieving what it is that you want to achieve. So, Cynthia, I hope that's helped, and I do appreciate your comments. Rick in Arizona mentions that he would like me to say which program to listen to when first waking up, since he has been listening as soon as he gets up in the morning. Well, I need to know which programs you have, Rick, but I would say anything with a fast brainwave pattern. The best way for you guys to decide whether it's a fast brainwave pattern is if it's doing this around the middle of the if it's going like this, or slower, then it's too slow. If it's going like really quick, then it's okay. So that's the best way in layman's terms to explain to you how that works. We will be ending the call shortly, so if anybody has any last-minute comments on the phone, it's star 2 to put up your hand. And I have another comment here I see on the web, and then I guess we'll close things up if no one has anything else to say. Tina in the UK again. Can you advise on how to deal with the deep issues that come up? I've had days where I feel like where I feel tight in my chest, like Chippo explained, and a little depressed. Well, that is natural and normal. Although I understand that it's all coming up for me, and I'm not always sure exactly how to deal with that. Okay, a couple of things you can do. First of all, have people around you that you can talk with, whether that's a psychologist, psychiatrist, doctor, friend, husband, wife, parent, child, anybody that you can actually talk to and open up with. That's part of what you can do. The second thing you can do is when you start noticing these things coming up, turn the volume down. Turn it down to a barely audible volume, okay? The strength of what comes up will be directly proportionate to the power of the session. So that's how entrainment works. The more powerful the signal, the more powerful the effect. If something is coming up and it's too strong for you, then tone down the volume. If you're driving in your car and it's too fast for you, ease up on the gas. It slows you down. It becomes much more manageable. All of a sudden, taking a turn at, say, 30 kilometers or 20 miles an hour seems very easy and manageable. But taking a turn at 180 miles an hour or 260 kilometers an hour doesn't seem so safe anymore. Okay? It's the same thing with this kind of entrainment. So if you're feeling stuff, Tina, or anybody for that matter, and it seems to be coming up a little too uncomfortably, try lowering the volume. In many, many cases, that will help lessen the negative effects you're feeling and allow this stuff to come out with relatively little discomfort. That is an idea. It won't always happen that way. Sometimes you will have to actually talk with people, and there's no way around that. Okay? So it's always best if you can find someone to chat with. If you can't, you know, there's all these support groups on the internet, Yahoo groups, Google groups, lots of people that you can chat with and express yourself to help get rid of these things. I'm also available on these calls, things like that. I don't mind giving like little mini sessions for people who need them. And I hope this helps. Okay, Tina, I hope that that helps you out. Let's see here. Okay. Oh, you're welcome, Tina. It's nice to be appreciated. We do have, I believe, Chippo from Ottawa, who I believe will be our last commenter for the evening. Chippo, you have the floor.
Yeah, I have another comment just listening to what Tina just said. What I do is I find the alpha, listening to the alpha level, that really helps me when I'm feeling like depressed or down. I just listen to the alpha sound.
So that would be, Tina, for you, that would be Alpha Flight or the extended version of Alpha Flight, okay? The Alpha Flight or the extended version. They're very similar programs. They're both in alpha, and there you've heard it from someone who actually uses it for that purpose, that actually it works and it helps to normalize. Is there anything else you'd like to share, Chippo, before I close this thing up?
That's it. That's all I wanted to share with Hay. Well, she wants to try that, because that helps me a lot.
Well, I certainly appreciate your taking the time to share that, and I hope more of you follow Chippo's example in the future and share their thoughts, step out of that little comfort zone, and show themselves and all of us how you can be helping us. So Let's see. We have one more comment that I'll get to, and then we're going to close it up because I'm getting ready to pass out, and we only have about 6 minutes of recording time left, and I want to make sure we get the full recording for everybody. So this is Cynthia again in Bethlehem. Thank you for your answer. Unfortunately, my computer has been giving me trouble needing a new link to access the seminar, and right when you were addressing my question, my computer shut off. Don't worry, Cynthia. You're going to be able to download the podcast, and everything will be there for you, I promise. I missed most of what you said. Please, if you are able, send me the entrainment information you mentioned, as well as how I'm able to access the previous session as well. My email is, okay, Cynthia, this is what you have to do, okay? You're more than welcome. Email Song, okay? And Song's email address is, I'll give you his special email address for the Quantum Confidence set here. It is S-O-N-G, sorry, let me rephrase that. It's Q-C, as in Quantum Confidence, T-M-M, as in the Mori Method. So it's Q-C, T-M-M, support, S-U-P-P-O-R-T, at gmail.com. Okay? So what you need to do is email Song, and he will send you information on how to ask him specifically. Song, I need the links to download the two podcasts from the webinar, please. He will send you both links to download the webinar information. Okay? Unfortunately, as far as the entrainment information you require, please email me again at Mori, M-O-R-R-Y, at quantum-mind-power.com, and I will be very happy with the request for exactly what you want, please. Don't assume I'm going to remember. Just exactly what you want. I get a lot of requests. I'm sure you understand that. And I will be very happy to send you what you need. So at this point, I'm going to close up and say that all of our confidence levels are rising. Even if you don't feel it right now, they're getting there. Start practicing some of the things I suggested you do from this call. Understanding is paramount. So listen to these calls whenever you have a chance. Maybe you're driving to work, whatever. Listen to them. You're on the bus, you're on the subway. Listen to them. Understand what it's all about. Understand what confidence and self-esteem comes from. Understand what it means. Use the information I've given you in these first two classes to increase your understanding. Once you increase your understanding, also practice some of the helpful hints I've been giving you during this class and the first class. You will not be able to deny a difference in your abilities and in your confidence levels and in your levels of self-esteem. I want to thank everybody for joining me tonight, whether you've joined me live or whether you're joining me on a podcast. I want to let you know that I'm here for you, and good night. Thank you very much.